And now for our feature presentation.
Caller, you're live on the air with Brian Hammer Jackson.
One, two, get down!
All right, caller, you may be gay. Now listen to me. I'm going to tell you something.
Paid the cost to be the boss. Paid the cost to be the boss. I paid the cost to be the boss. Look at me. You know what you see. Be a bad mother. Look at me. You know what you see. A bad mother. Paid the cost to be the boss. Paid the cost to be the boss. Look at me. Know what to see. See a bad mother.
No, dude, I told you, you're gay. You know what your DNA stands for? Desperately eating ass. No, you've been smoking too much of that fairy dust. Get off my airwaves. No. Now listen, you go get help, or you live in the culture you want to. Now go get some ass like a real man. I got work to do. Thank you, caller. Call back.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. I've been gone a minute, but I'm back. My name is Brian Hammer Jackson. You're listening to Hammer Radio Network. Hammer 96.7 BT Radio. My normal time is usually 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. But I've been working on projects, and this is a chance, and I miss you guys. I miss being on the radio. The reason I'm back is because the title of our show. So you married an asshole. You might be an assaholic, if there's such a word. It just came into my mind. Meaning you're addicted to assholes. Now, is it a bad thing? I don't know. I don't know if it's a bad thing. But there's a definition about assholes. You know, the asshole in the Western Dictionary. An asshole, they have them here. You're usually vulgar, a stupid, annoying, detestable person. That's the definition of an asshole. Usually is vulgar, the least attractive or desirable part of an area. It uses in phrases like assholes of the world. We're going to get into a little further. And the reason I came on the air is because I was listening to Dr. Wendy Walsh. She's on KFI. And I was just in the tub, turned on the radio, was there, usually listen to music, but she was on. And she was talking about narcissists. Bad, stay away, all kinds of shit. It kind of offended me. Made me want to come back on the radio. And what we're going to do is we're going to hear her talk about, she calls them narcissists, and I call them assholes. But I think you can relate to it. I really do. So we're going to listen, and I'm going to make a comment too, because I hear it so much from my friends and their friends, like when a woman gets mad and she's with her friends, the first thing she says is, my husband's an asshole, he acts like an asshole, this and this and this. It's very interesting. But there are assaholics out there, and you may be an assaholic. We're going to look into that type of personality. So that's why Wendy, Dr. Wendy Walsh, will help us. We'll listen to some of her advice and what she describes as a narcissist. I happen to disagree with her. I mean, you know, I really don't like psychologists or psychiatrists. I think they're like witch doctors. I really think they're frauds. And I know you may say, well, how do you say that? Because there's not, people are so complex, and people, I believe that people will react or behave regarding their surroundings. One person who lives in a hood in Chicago will react differently than a person who lives in Beverly Hills or something in New York, in Manhattan. So you cannot tell me one person, because they have some schooling and because of what they think a behavior is. And by the way, our behavior changes. If you look at social media and everything, behavior is changing. And so you have to keep up with the behavior. At one point, we used to say tough love. Now it's bullying, abuse. One time it was flirting. Now it's sexual harassment. So you see how things are progressing and changing. So one person, are you telling me, one person who you call a psychologist, psychiatrist, whatever, can keep up with the trend and the social views of other people? So this person went to Harvard. They lived in upper Manhattan. They put a shingle on their office, and all of a sudden I go there, and they're going to know who I am and tell me about behavior. Yeah, okay, let's, you know, they'll talk about the general behavior, society. They're going to play it safe, right? Do you fit in that norm of society? And if you don't fit in that norm, you must be crazy. But that norm keeps changing. It keeps sliding. So, no, I do not believe that one person has all the answers. And if you ever went to one, I have. Oh, my God, it was the worst mistake. And so I went to one because I had a problem. I was 18. I'm not going to tell you what the problem was. Well, the problem was women. I loved them too much. And the problem I had was I got a girlfriend, but I was still love women, 18. So I didn't want to cheat on my girlfriend, so I seeked help. I was asking this guy who sat in front of me, who looks like Sigmund Freud, can you help me? And he goes, what do you need help with? And I said, I don't want to cheat on her. Why do you want to cheat on women? I love women. I had a problem. He couldn't even understand it. He says, you're blah, blah, blah. So this is all a true story. We went to our counseling session. I said, hey, doc, I'm cured. I understand. He asked me, you want to do me a favor? And I said, what's the favor? He goes, I have a student. She's a female psychiatrist, and she needs the hours. Would you mind talking to her? I was a little nervous because my problem was women. But what I didn't know, how beautiful she was, so I went. Bottom line, within 6 minutes, we had sex on her desk. And within 8 minutes, okay, it took a couple of minutes. Okay, come on. I was in a hurry. She asked, could she see me again, you know, do therapy? I go, I gave you your therapy. You should be paying me. And then I knew. I didn't have the problem. She had the problem. And we're going to go with the assholes, too. So you married an asshole. Maybe they were assholes all along, but you fell in love with an asshole. Maybe it's not the asshole's problem, but it's your problem. Why are you attracted to assholes? And then you have the nerve to complain about it. I once had an executive producer, and we had a situation. And so she took advice from a guy who was a moron. And I said, do you know the person was a moron? She goes, yes, I did. So you know he's a moron. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And you still took his advice. Yes, I did. It sounded good. And you can't get mad at the moron because the moron is a moron. I have to get mad at the person who took the advice of a moron who knew he was a moron. That's how it works. So you can't get mad at the asshole. The asshole is the asshole. You have to find out what is it within you that you are attracted to assholes and you're making the relationship miserable. That's what we're going to find out. Let's start at the beginning. So me and my girl, we try to find something together to watch, date night. We've been together for a number of years. Cool. So we're searching. So we found this thing on Netflix. Now, I have this thing about millennials. Millennials, to me, is the worst generation ever. Because I think they're the product of the afterbirth, and what I mean by that is that men are no longer men. It was unfortunately that millennials were brought up with stupid values, crazy values. Men are no longer men if you're a millennial. It's just embarrassing. You're taught everybody gets a trophy, no competitiveness, don't stand out because if you stand out, it's bad. One goes, all of us go, we must support each. You hear it. Be more sensitive to women, cry at their movies, don't be a misogynist pig, and of course there's no rules for that. Don't be looking at women like they're sex object, which we do, which we're human, and that's what God said. Look, God said, hey, Adam, you're by yourself. And Adam goes, yeah. And God said, hey, Adam, quit playing with yourself. Well, God, there's nobody else here. God goes, you know what? I have to take care of that. And then he got her a woman. And he got Adam a woman. And Adam goes, well, what's her name? And God said, her name is Eve. He goes, okay. So, but Adam had no game because he didn't have no game because he was the only man on earth. So Adam goes to Eve, hey, babe, how you doing? Eve wanted nothing to do with him. And Eve decided, you know what? I want nothing to do with you. You're a misogynist, you're a bully, and you're probably an asshole. So Eve decided to go to the garden. She took a walk in the garden. She had a snake, and she had sex with a snake. Now, I don't know how long that the snake dated Eve. What did the snake say? How much game does the snake have? I mean, my God, it was the only woman on earth. And to tell me, can you imagine being Adam and being rejected? See, Adam, now, I don't know if Adam was a pussy. Now, I'm thinking Adam was a pussy because I think when Eve says, I'm going to go for a walk, Adam goes, okay. I don't know. Adam, you're the only man there. I mean, there's no police. There's no nothing. There's no courts. There's no nothing. You pull her by the hair and you treat her like a caveman. Ugh, take her. Who's going to judge you besides God? But God gave you an erection for a reason. But Adam was stupid and go, okay. Next thing you know, Eve is up there bumping uglies with a snake. What did that snake have that Adam had? Because Adam was a nice guy, and Eve was an asshole. There was only one man. You had one job, Eve. One job. There's only one man in the world, and you have the nerve to do the snake for some vegetables? One job. Okay. And then it began. And that's how it is. So, again, we're going with the beginning. We're date night. We're looking at Netflix, blah, blah, blah. Then we find something. My girlfriend loves reality shows, you know, The Bachelor and all that kind of stuff. I fall asleep, whatever. So she comes across this show called Love is Blind. It's on Netflix, reality show. Let me give you an idea about the show. Love is Blind, they pick these contestants, okay? They don't see each other, men and women. They don't see each other. They go in a room. They have to talk. You know, there's a wall between them. Get to find out who they are. Bottom line, they're trying to find out who you are, and they're going to get married just on their personality alone without seeing each other. That's what it is. And the part of what I can tell is that if they really gel with each other, remember, they're not seeing each other. But when they gel with each other, the guy will propose marriage to the person sight unseen. That's what it is. And then you hear all this bullshit, and women do the same. Oh, you know, I don't care if they're ugly. I don't care this. And I just like them for who they are. Now, men, if you believe that bullshit, then you will be a masturbator for life. Women do care. But, you know, if I'm looking at this show, and then we're finding out women are assholes. But they come off saying, now, this show is not about hating women. This is a show about you being an asshole too. And that's why we're going to get to Wendy Walsh in a couple of seconds. But I'm finding out that these women are assholes. Oh, I don't care what they look like. Oh, his heart is so good. He's made of gold. He's so wonderful. And then they see the dude. It's like, ugh. So here's the second part. So finally, they'll pick the dude. The dude will propose to her sight unseen. They open up the curtain. They see who they are. And you can see their reactions of how disappointed they are. Now, these contestants are not like, you know, random guy at 7-Eleven or your neighborhood grocery stores. I mean, these are educated people. These are engineers, scientists, you know, these kind of things, marketing. They got something going on. I mean, that's what they do. So we're hitting upper middle class on up. So they see each other, and the object is that, okay, we sight unseen, you propose, now I see you. Now I'm going to take you to, the contestants go to Mexico. Beautiful area, beautiful spot, mind you, is paradise. And you get into their heads and everything, and they're still thinking, well, we're engaged, we're going to get married. And so after we have this beautiful time, it's time to go to bed. And some of these women have excuses not to sleep, and some of them are just bumping like crazy, okay? Here's a preview of it. Love is Blind, Season 2. Now, remember what I told you. These guys will go into this pod. These women will go in a pod. They can only talk to each other through a wall. They fall in love. They'll talk to a lot of these people or have a connection to two people, whatever. And it's so funny. A lot of these women will say, okay, I like you. And the guy goes, well, you know what? I like the other person. And then she gets rejected, and all of a sudden she goes to the part two guy, second guy. Okay, you still want to marry me? I mean, it's just really crazy shit. Here's a preview that you will hear, Love is Blind. And who hosts the show is Nick Lachey and his wife. They host the show. You'll see what I mean. This is Kyle. And describe Kyle, think of Gary Busey. Almost the same attitude, same eyes, and energetic. And so what happened is that Kyle was torn between two girls that he met, I mean, talked through the wall. We're at the wall part. And I guess he liked one girl, but she turned him down because, well, here you go. Just listen to the preview. Here you go. You'll get to Jess.
I do envision a life with you together.
That hurt. That one was rough.
I'm like in shock. I haven't put it on yet.
Are you excited to see me?
I'm so excited to see you.
I'll just jump right in with,
yeah.
Bro, what was going through your mind?
It's crazy because watching it back, I had no idea any of that stuff that was happening. I didn't know. It was a little hard to watch.
What was your initial reaction when you saw how everything was playing out?
I was a little annoyed. I was kind of sad. I was a little bit angry, but also I know that I gave my all. I tried. I had to keep trying because that was the whole process. It was like never give up. Just trust the process is what we were told. And I didn't want to quit on her because there was a reason that I asked her to marry me.
And so they kept telling you to trust the process. And obviously you know that there were a couple of very happy couples to come out of the first season. Were you hoping that you would have a very similar story?
Yeah, absolutely. And I thought that our story would be inspiring. The fact that we had such different beliefs. So if we could kind of show that, hey, it can work out, then why not? You're just trying to get through it, you know, by having fun and going out and making each other laugh or helping out each other. You're not really debating life every single day.
Why you're an atheist?
I just believe science.
That is science.
But the science doesn't check out.
Says who?
Says a lot of people. I am resistant to brainwashing.
I think you are brainwashed.
So you don't believe in evolution?
I do not believe in evolution at all.
Stop it.
I do not.
So right there,
yeah.
There was nothing in your head that was like, I don't know.
Blah, 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 blah. Let me save you the ice pick in the heart thing. So this moron, his name is Kyle. The other one is Gary Busey, excuse me. The Gary Busey type. So this moron, Kyle, picked this woman. Now, she originally picked somebody else, but the other guy said no to her, so she went to her part two, or her standby, which is Kyle. So the bottom line, let me fast forward it. So the bottom line is that when the window came up or they saw each other, she was very disappointed. He's a good-looking guy. So they go to Mexico. They're there. The couple's there, very romantic. And what happens is that she says, you know, I really love you, and I like you, you know, the thing. He goes, yeah, I really like you, blah, 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 blah. She goes, but I think we should sleep in separate rooms. Now, you're at Mexico. You're a millennial. You're at the most romantic place in Mexico. You're single, and you're not going to even have sex. But she says, "Listen, I'm going to turn in." He goes, what do you mean you're going to turn in? It's only 7:30. She goes, yeah. So she went into the other room, and the next thing you see her getting packing her bags and leaving. She leaves. Okay, sad. Then this nitwit, Kyle, talks to the camera saying, you know, he's crying and everything. And then at the end, he says, I still love her. I will find her, and let's make this work. Dude, you're in Mexico. She left at 7:40, changed room, the most romantic place in the world. I'm telling you, girls on spring break, you know, let me tell you something. If you're in college and your girlfriend says, I'm going to spring break in Cancun, basically what she's saying is, I'm going to take a vacation and I'm going to fuck and then go home to you. I'm sowing my oats. If your girlfriend ever says, I'm going to Cancun and she wants to go by herself, she's going to have sex. She's not going with the girlfriend. Cut it out. Quit being a moron. It's true. It's true. Same thing with Florida. Spring break. All these women are just having sex, sowing out their wallows because they know it. It's just true. So anyway, so this guy still wants her. Now, she humiliated him on TV. She left in Mexico. She went to bed at 7:40, but what she really did was pack her bags, and she left. He's standing there by himself, and he still has the nerve to say, I love her. I think we have a chance. Let's give it a try. This is what millennials, and I keep thinking, millennials, you're stupid. You're stupid. I can't tell you enough. I mean, I don't know if there's any good parts left in here because I don't like this commentary. Here it is. Let me see this scene. Let's see.
That made you want to get engaged.
Yeah, I was hoping she had the same mentality of, let's try and work past this. You know, let's agree to disagree, move on. Otherwise, you'll never find anyone that 100% agrees with every little thing.
Now, that's the warning sign. See, you know, if you're a man in a workplace, you're checking out some chicks, you go to HR because you're putting too much attention to her. An HR person calls you in and say, hey, you know, Becky says that you're making her feel uncomfortable. You don't go back to your seat and go, you know what, maybe Becky misunderstood me. Maybe I'll see Becky at lunch, and I like Becky, and let her know that I'm not a creep. Because now I have the creep factor, right? Nobody wants to be the creep factor. So the fool will go at lunchtime to talk to Becky, and next thing you know, he's fired because of that shit. It's the same shit here. If she left you, she saw you, she's not attracted to you, she even left Mexico to get away from you, and you still have the mentality to say this.
That made you want to get engaged.
Yeah, I was hoping she had the same mentality of, let's try and work past this. You know, let's agree to disagree, move on. Otherwise, you'll never find anyone that 100% agrees with every little thing. But seeing her reaction,
you're holding my mother's engagement ring.
Do you want to know the secret to making a great?
This is a thing. So this guy, well, let me skip this ad. Here we go. Let's listen to Kyle.
Oh, my God.
Will you marry me?
yes.
Oh my God.
What was going through your mind in that pause where you were waiting for her answer?
I just...
Stupid interview. Hey, stupid interview. Who cares what's going through his mind? Now, he already has problems, and then he still had the nerve to ask her to marry him. This is why people get divorced. We can work past this. This is a millennial's hit mindset. We can get past this. We'll overcome this. If love is this, you're a pussy. You get in trouble. Stop it. So bottom line, we're kind of addicted to this show, and we're seeing the disasters. We're seeing the disasters of they talk to three or four people, and they bring them in at some resort where they're drunk. They're always drinking, by the way. You have to have alcohol. It's always drinking. And majority of the people are the women. They get either some are getting very controlling, and you start seeing the mental illness of people. And that's what it is. So we realize at first they seem nice and everything, and then they get to know each other, and then you get to hear how mad they are and everything. And you see the psychotic mind of a woman. The dangerous thing. But, you know, the reason I say the woman is because if you look at the man, he's a pussy. I want to work it out. He's so pussy. It's like you don't see the signs. And that brings us to, so you married an asshole. You might be an assholeholic. And some of you women are thinking, I want to be with the bad boy. I don't want to marry the bad boy. I want to be with the good prince. But you're never happy with the bad boy. But you're sure in hell not happy with the prince either. Because you're addicted to that adrenaline rush. What the bad boy brings to the table. But that doesn't usually work out. Because you usually want somebody stable, but the bad boy's not stable because he's impulsive. But that's what you like about him. Right? And maybe he's funny and maybe he's witty. I mean, that's what you love about him, right? But he's not stable. He's not responsible. Bad boys are, you know, devil beware. And you like that. Maybe you like the freak sex that a bad boy brings. You like a little spanky spanky because you deserve to get spanked because you're with the bad boy. Spank that hiney. You deserve it. And you want it. But not all the time. Nobody wants to eat ice cream every day. And then as you get older, you try to curve him, bring him down. When I say bring him down, pull him in. You know, just don't be so much of an asshole, you know? But you can't change an asshole because an asshole is an asshole. So nothing's wrong with the asshole, but something's wrong with you who are attracted to assholes. That's the problem. So we go back to Wendy, while I'm even here. And usually I have some projects I have to do, but I had to come on the air about this. Wendy Walsh, let me tell you who she is. She's a psychologist. And let me tell you exactly who she is. She's born in 1962. Okay? She's a Canadian author. She's a lecturer. She's a radio host and a television commentator. I could tell she's from a well-to-do family because I don't know too much about Canada, but her family is from Prince Edward Island. Her father served in the Royal Canadian Navy. So I don't think she was brought up in the hood. I don't think so. Here's her her credentials. She holds a dual Canadian-American citizenship. She was an M.A. and P.S.Y.D. in clinical psychology from California Graduate Institute. So she has a degree in psychology. I guess she has a Ph.D. She says she earned her Ph.D. in clinical psychology from California Graduate Institute. She also claims that she earned a Ph.D. in clinical psychology. She claims. That's what it says here. Uh, Let's see, what else? She began, who cares, but she began her television career in 1990 in Los Angeles as a news reporter. Okay, warning sign. You're a news reporter, but you have a master's, not only you have a master's in clinical psychology, but yet you got a job as a news reporter. Now, I'm taking a look at her. She's a good-looking woman. That's like saying I'm going to school to become an engineer, but I decided that I want to be a social media promoter. All those years, so that's a little thing. So instead of doing what her master says, she decides that she wanted to be a news reporter for an affiliate in California. She also served as a West Coast correspondent for NBC's Weekend Today show. Okay. I don't know why you took that side road, but okay. And then she had pilots in various networks, cable networks. She also appeared on The Doctors as a co-host and a panelist for the fourth season, in which she was nominated. And we can go on and on. So basically, she wanted to be an actress and a model. That's what she wanted to be. She was a featured commentator, providing a psychological analyst into fictional characters. With Chris Peterson on a DVD box set edition from the Today Show, Get a Life. Now, here's the controversy, and I'll end it. In 2013, Wendy was a guest on the O'Reilly Factor. She claimed, here we go, because there has to be something here. She claimed that after she declined an invitation to his hotel, that's why she seems familiar. I knew the name was familiar. Here we go. So Wendy was a guest on the O'Reilly Factor, Bill O'Reilly show. She claimed that after she declined an invitation to his hotel suite, he reportedly turned her down as a contributor for his program. Then after Bill O'Reilly turned her down as a contributor, she came out with sexual misconduct against Bill O'Reilly. Now, Bill O'Reilly said, no, we don't need you here and everything. So she got pissed off. And then she started saying, there's allegations of sexual misconduct, which removed Bill O'Reilly from Fox, to tell you the truth. Walsh is part of the hashtag MeToo movement and has been the subject of substantial press coverage in 2017. She was named as one of the silent breakers for the Times Person of the Year. An excerpt from Walsh's interview later gained notoriety after it was turned into an internet meme. Of course, she wrote a book. Her first book is The Boyfriend Test, How to Evaluate His Potential Before You Lose Your Heart. So this is what. So you see who she is. She's a gold digger. She's a vicious bitch. Now, I'm not condoning any sexual misconduct at work, but she knew about Bill O'Reilly, and if I remember right, I think this is the one that she was talking to him on the phone, and Bill O'Reilly wanted to send her a dildo and whatever. So remember, he didn't do anything to her, but it was just misconduct. Bill O'Reilly being an asshole. Bill O'Reilly being a naughty boy. But she got him. She nailed his ass. And then she attached herself to a hashtag MeToo movement. So now she's on the air talking about relationships. Telling you to stay away from these kind of men. That's what she's telling you. So you get an idea about her. We're going to hear a little bit about her show, and I usually don't do this, but her show kind of pissed me off. So we go back to the beginning of psychologists, and I had a friend who was going to be a psychiatrist. This is back when we were in college. He was a counselor. We used to play tennis. And I said to him, why do you want to be a psychologist? He goes, I have problems. I go, what? He goes, don't you know? Most people who go in that field have a lot of mental problems. That's why they go in that field. I saw the move that she made. You know, the first warning sign is that you got a doctor's in psychology and clinical psychology and this, but then you chose to be a news reporter. Warning. Why, if you're really serious about being a psychologist and you studied all that, then why don't you go in the field and being a psychologist? But no, you wanted to be on TV. That you want to be on TV, then after that little stunt, you tried to go to Bill O'Reilly, seduce Bill O'Reilly, and ask him that you want to be a contributor to his show, and he said, no, you got pissed off, and you fucking ruined his career. So now you're on TV or you're on the radio telling people who to watch out for. You're the person who we should watch out for. And this is why men are scared of people like you. But again, we're going to hear a little bit of her show, and I usually don't do this, but it all makes sense, and I don't know how long I'm going to play it, but I want you to get an idea of who she is. This is Dr. Wendy Walsh talking about, and let me tell you something. Women, I'm going to give you a hint. Listen, ladies. If you want to know about men, listen to a man's show. Don't listen to a hateful woman's show. Vice versa, men. If you want to know about women, women's issue, listen to a woman's show. To know about women, because women do not talk openly in front of men. You could be married for 20 years. Women are not going to talk about what turns them on, what do this, in front of you. So the bad thing, women, if you listen to this show, you're going to learn about these bad men. And you're going to have that spin on it. If you really want to know about a man, you listen to a man show and how a man feels. All right, without further ado, this is Dr. Wendy Walsh. Well, just listen for a minute. Some things I agree, some things I don't. Here she is.
Connection with Mario and Luigi.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Sorry, I'm a nerd.
Yeah. Cool. All right, we have kept things light so far in the Dr. Wendy Walsh show because I'm about to get serious heavy. Sorry. I had a little interlude there where I wanted to connect with Kayla and Andrew and David because you know what I did the rest of the week? I got consumed with the news. I did everything against my own advice. What is going on in Ukraine has upset me so much that it made me go back and look at the research for us all so we can all do better. Here's what you need to know. When you consume a lot of news that brings a lot of negative feelings to you, it activates your sympathetic nervous system. It causes your body to release stress hormones like cortisol and adrenaline. I haven't even been sleeping well lately since Putin has started his nonsense. I swear. I'm like, I want to send him a bill for my lack of sleep because it's really not fair. Although, here I speak from the comfort of a beautiful studio in Burbank where I went out last night with friends, and all I can think about the people who are actually suffering. Some of the symptoms you might be experiencing if you've been consuming too much news lately are fatigue, anxiety, depression, trouble sleeping. That's me. You know, there was one study that found that people who watch negative material, they took one group, gave them some negative material to watch. Another group watched positive or neutral material, and it showed an increase in those that watched the negative material in both anxious and sad moods, and they only had to watch 14 minutes for it to kick in, right? So what can we do to both have empathy and compassion and caring for the people of Ukraine, but also preserve ourselves so that we can get through this next thing? I think maybe we're also experiencing a little PTSD because it's like one giant historical moment after another. It's like we barely come through the pandemic. I mean, I want to remind everybody 1,900 people died yesterday of COVID, so it's not completely over, right? But we barely get through. And then this war news. So the research says we need to find a balance between staying informed, which we want to do. Don't want to stick our heads in the sand, and being obsessed. And in the last 3 days, I was obsessed. I'll be honest. I was like on TikTok looking for Ukrainian teenagers, seeing what they weren't doing dances anymore, folks. They were shining the camera out their bedroom window and showing me footage. That's how deep dive I went into it. I will say this. as I told you about TikTok, watch reliable news outlets. Well, I think those teenagers in the Ukraine are very reliable, actually, sometimes more than some of our media here in America. Here's something interesting that research has shown can help us. We need to kind of schedule our worry. So decide what time of day you're going to scroll through the news. Acknowledge the things you're worried about. Make any plans for addressing the issues in some way. But then stop.
Are you bored yet? I'm going to get to a part where the narcissist is. That's the part I heard. I don't need anybody to tell me when to stop looking at the news. I don't need anybody to preach to me about when to stop. But I just want to give you an idea of her personality. So here's a little bit more so you get an idea of who she is. We'll continue.
And if you do it at the same time every day, your brain will actually get used to the routine. And then when it's time to relax, you'll be able to relax more easily. Do I have to mention that you shouldn't probably be consuming this negative news right before you go to sleep? And, of course, that's when we all do, right? Last thing I do before I go to sleep is open up the New York Times, which is so wrong on every level. I should be, like, on that Calm app or something. Of course, I did find some great fun for a few weeks, or not even a few weeks. I probably binged it in 10 days, inventing Anna. Oh, my God. She's the female Tinder swindler. Yeah.
Yeah, of course, you would be attracted to Anna, who is a Tinder vigilante, which is, I think, is a new show on Netflix. Of course, you love her. Now, we're going to try to fast forward it. I don't know if I can, but hang in there. She'll get to a part about narcissists, and it's about our story about being an asshole. And when she gets to the part about being a narcissist, this is a part that really bothered me. Really bothered me. Now, I told you her background. She has a master in clinical psychology, she says. She claims. She did some, then right away she went on to try to get on NBC as a news reporter. Red light. This is all about you being a narcissist, and she is, because she has to be in the light. Look at her background, TV, radio, entertainment. It's all about me, Dr. Wendy Walsh. Listen how I talk to you. I am talking to you like you're a lower scum of the earth, and I am the she-god. Listen to my tone. Follow me. Again, a little bit more, because I can't fast-forward this. I wish I could. But she'll get to a part of the narcissist, and I think you'll agree with me. Well, we have to listen to this dribble. Here we go.
Netflix, you really got us. I mean, first it's the Tiger King, then the Tinder swindler, and now inventing Anna.
It's amazing I get any work done with everything that Netflix is doing right now. They are killing it.
They're killing it with the documentaries. So it's a good...
Now, her description of the show is this. Bear with me. Her description of the show is, are you with a narcissist? Wendy Walsh, I'll give you the telltale signs of you being with it. Like, we don't know, but she's going to tell us. And she also describes this way. Scientists say that many women haven't adapted to the hookup culture. Hookup culture. So now you're going to talk about the hookup culture. You're going to talk about being a narcissist. Wait a minute. Weren't you the one who complained about Bill O'Reilly being inappropriate on the phone, and you got so upset that you sued Fox and you fired Bill O'Reilly because what was the reason again? Sexual misconduct. Oh, my God, you're a victim. Oh, my God, you're claiming sexual misconduct. And Bill O'Reilly admitted it. Yeah, I had phone sex. I got to call it telebone. That's what I call it, telebone. You go on a phone and you're going to get boned. So she did a telephone. So Bill O'Reilly was there off work, not on camera, and she got upset, fired his ass, because it was inappropriate, right? But here's her description. Her description says, I quote, I quote, scientists say that many women have adapted to the hookup culture. But I have a guest who says it's possible to become a secure slut. She uses the word a secure slut. What the hell is a secure slut? You see how they fuck with you? And if you have a weak mind, a secure slut, there is no such thing versus an insecure slut? I don't know. Hey, Brian, did you have sex with this woman? Yes. Well, how was she? She was a slut. Well, what kind of slut? Was she insecure? Was she secure? I don't know. She was a slut. Do I care? Do I care if she was a pissed off slut, a Down syndrome slut? Well, okay, I do have limits. There's a line. But what is an insecure slut? What the hell is that? But she says it's possible to become a secure slut. And how good is your relationship at helping you grow? You're going to make a living talking about whores and sluts and hookups, and you're going to blame it on men. You ruin one man's career because of sexual misconduct. By the way, misconduct. He didn't touch her. He didn't rape her. He didn't put his hands on her. It's because she was got offended because he asked her to get out a dildo. That offended her, and she destroyed this man's career, but yet she's making a career out of talking to you about hookups, being a secure slut, so on. Do the math. I can't fast forward this. I wish I could, because this dribble is killing me. But it gets to the part where I get pissed off, and it goes with our show. So you married an asshole, and you might be an assaholic. You can't blame the asshole, baby. The asshole is the asshole, and you're attracted to the asshole. So who has the problem? Not the asshole. You have the problem. But when these shows like Wendy Walsh and all these other shows, these women's shows, will tell you that he's the problem or she's the problem. Unless we just don't call women assholes. We call them bitches. So men have the same thing. Well, what's your problem? She's a bitch. Was she born a bitch? I mean, when she got birth and did, she came out and a doctor smacked her on the ass so she can breathe, and the doctor goes, here, you got your, this is a bitch. So, yeah. And why are you men attracted to bitches? It's not the bitch. You know the woman was a bitch when you were going out with her. And you're attracted. Maybe you liked how she was so possessive, or you liked how she was jealous, and you liked how she grabbed onto you, and you liked how she looked at you, and you were her world, and she cared for you, she mothered you, she fed you. Yeah, you like all that shit. But then you wanted to go out, and she says, uh-uh. And the bitch came out. That's right. Uh-uh. You can't go out. You can't do this. We don't want you to drink in here. You better be home by this. And you're sitting there going, what the fuck did I do? Yeah, you married a bitch, but you liked the other stuff that the bitch had. I mean, she brought her bitch bag with her. You know what I mean? The caring, the loving, the jealousy that made you feel so good, that made you feel like God. And you loved all that. That's part of bitchery. And that's what assholes do, too. You're my world, baby. You're everything to me, and you're this, and I would move heaven and earth. What makes me move heaven and earth? You think you're God? Yes, I'm God, because I can move heaven and earth for you, baby. I love you. I'll perform for you. I'll buy you things. Oh, I like him. Then all of a sudden, you get out of line, and he says, uh-uh. Bullshit. You get your ass back in the house. You better change it to no hush puppies, because I bought you some nice shoes and those that fur coat that you're wearing and all that shit. I did that. That house that you're living, I did that. And you're not going to give me any sex? Come on, man. You knew who she was when you met him or met her, and vice versa. Women, you knew who he was when you met him. But then we get the bitches. See, here's the problem. Then we get the women who are listening to this. Listening to this. Because she's a doctor. She knows everything. We must pay attention because she studied. She read some books about how men react and how men are. so she must know. So we get these vulnerable women who are sitting there, and they're listening to her, and they go, whatever she says is true, and they're doing this. And I tell you again, ladies, I tell you this. If you really want to know how man works or how man thinks, you listen to a man psychiatrist or you go to a man show or whatever, because that's where you're really going to find out how men think. You're not going to find out what a man is or who a narcissist is by a woman who is living her life, talking about sluts and hookups, but also suing people who she feels are coming on to her. Not touching her, by the way. Not doing it, just coming on to her. This vindictive bitch. All right, let's listen to a little bit more. It'll get there. It'll get there. I promise you. You need to get to the narcissist part. Here we go.
Sending money to a, you know, reputable charity like the Red Cross. Not, believe me, there are a lot of charities on TikTok, too, saying, send money here. don't follow those. But the Red Cross or something. Also, think in terms of, like, our nervous system gets overloaded when there's this range of stressors that are on us, right? And so now we have Ukraine as the new thing on top of the layer of the pandemic and whatever else going on in our life, losing whatever the COVID 15 pounds we gained or what have you. And so limit your exposure to other stressors, people, places, things, events that you know are going to be stressful if you've taken on a new overload. Right? So if you're dealing with your mother-in-law and it's a chronic condition for you, actually one of our social media listeners sent me a message about that. I'm going to address it later in the show. Then, you know, decide. Limit the amount of time you're going to spend with people that cause you more stress because you got to help the people of Ukraine. In fact, when we come back, I have a guest who is Ukrainian, who has family there, and she's going to tell us what she's getting from the ground talking to her family daily. Also, later in our show, I have a guest who actually thinks she can teach women how to be secure sluts and not catch feelings.
That's a thing?
I don't know. I think there's a website for that. Mm. There's a website for everything. Actually, I think she's going to be more interesting than we think. I think that was just clickbait, what I read on the website. That's what I'm hoping, anyway. And also a quiz that you can take for your relationship to see if your relationship is helping you grow or not. And, you know, because people write to me every day and ask me this, am I dating a narcissist? Well, I've got a few telltale signs for you. Plus, I will be taking your calls and your questions on social media. You are listening to the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show.
I apologize. I can't fast forward it. I just want to get to a part where the narcissist part comes in because it is very damaging to men. And we have to go through all this bullshit. It's supposed to be like 15 minutes in, and I can't fast forward it. We're going to take a little break. Maybe I could find her on YouTube on this particular thing, and I can fast forward to where I wanted to listen. You're listening to Hammer Radio Network. I am Brian the Hammer Jackson, and I am an assholic. Thank you. If you'd like to call in the show, I do not have the number. You should have the number if you listen to me, but yeah, I do have the number. I do have the number. If you want to call on the show, it's 319-527-6099. That's 319-527-6099. That's the number to get you in the studio. That's the number to get your voice heard around the world. That's the number to get you to me. I want to know, are you married to an asshole? Are you an asshole? Are you a bitch? Are you married to a bitch? Do you like Dr. Wendy Walsh? Does she have some kind of credibility? I would like to know. I am Brian Hammer Jackson. Give me a call. When we come back, I'm going to try to forward in and get to what I really want to get to. Are you a narcissist? And some of you people don't even know what a narcissist is. If you do, come on in and tell me. Come in and tell me. All right. We'll be right back. After this, you're listening to Brian the Hammer Jackson.
you hallelujah. Girl, sit you hallelujah. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Saturday night and we in the spot. Don't believe me, just watch.
Here she is right here. This is another little intro. And we're still going to go to the narcissistic side. But here's another little tidbit, teaser. She's talking about men's testicles, why ball size matter. I'm assuming it's men's testicle. Remember, this is a woman who got so offended when she talked to Bill O'Reilly. And Bill O'Reilly got a little, he wanted a little telebone. And that's my version of phone sex. And she got so offended that she complained about it, that it was sexual misconduct, and the man lost his job. Now, I don't like Bill, but fair is fair. But yet, she's making a career talking about sex. She's making a career talking about men's balls, and she's getting so offended when Bill O'Reilly was on the phone with her. They got him so, and she charged, went to HR, because of sexual misconduct, and she wanted to go live and let people know about Fox News. They fired Bill because of that. It offended her so much. It really offended, but yet she's making a career out of talking what we're talking about. And here's what I'm talking about. Remember, she got offended because Bill O'Reilly said some things to upset her sexually. This is Dr. Wendy Walsh talking about why ball size matter.
From KFI AM 640 and iHeartRadio station. You can always find me on the iHeartRadio app pretty much anywhere. So, can we talk about your ball size? Oh, really? Scrotum, testes, let's use medically, anatomically correct language, okay? So, one of the things that's really interesting about many species is that the size of one's scrotum is sometimes correlated with their sexual behavior. So understand it this way. First of all, we are one of five great apes, the five big primates left on the planet. Can you name the other four? Come on. Everyone gets gorilla. They always get chimpanzee, orangutan, and bonobo monkeys. Okay? So these are the ones who are closest to us. And when anthropologists study these kinds of species and look to find out how much promiscuity or monogamy exists in their sexual system, they look at the correlation between scrotum size and body weight. So at one end of the scale, you've got chimpanzees. Chimpanzees tend to have huge, big gonads, relatively small body size, and tend to be very, very promiscuous. At the other end of the scale, you've got orangutans, tiny little chestnuts, big hulking bodies. They tend to be very monogamous and very paternalistic. So where do humans fall in on the scale? Well, somewhere in the middle. Actually, we have it all. right? We have the widest range of sexual behavior of any primate species. And in fact, there are many different mating strategies that males use. You know, some like to spread their seeds. Some like to focus on one woman and a quantifiable amount of offspring and get those offspring up and out and through college and ready to procreate themselves. They're just different strategies. In another video, I'll tell you about female mating strategies. We've got some tricks of our own. So the question is, can you tell if a guy is going to be a cheater just by knowing the size of his scrotum relative to body size? Well, there's some early research to show that, yeah, there can.
You see what I'm saying, guys? You see what I'm saying, ladies? So what are you going to do? You want to check the guy's balls before you have a serious relationship with him? See, this is the dangerous psychological mind fuck. Again, I have to remind you, this is the same bitch who got upset when Bill O'Reilly mentioned something sexual. She got so upset it really hurt her so bad that she complained to Fox and they fired his ass because he was talking about sexual things on the phone with her. I think Bill O'Reilly also said that, do you have a vibrator? Would you like to use it on the phone? And she gets so upset. But yet she can come on TV or come on the radio and talk about gorilla balls. If anybody's going to talk about sexual things on the phone, it would be her. Isn't she an expert? But she was so offended. She was so offended. And now she's telling you ladies that you can tell by... And here's how dangerous, and every woman listen to her, I guarantee you, you're going to be checking your man's balls tonight to tell that if you're monogamous or if you're a cheater. The size of your balls can tell you if you're a good person to have a relationship with. This is what she's saying. This is what she's saying. So I guess if you want to get in a sack, you better have a big ball sack. I don't know. This is what she's saying. Listen to this.
Well, there's some early research to show that, yeah, there can be a correlation. So the bigger the balls, the more the cheater. I mean, think of the language we use all the time. Oh, he's so ballsy. Yeah, he's got big balls, right? What are we thinking when we say that? We're talking about aggression. We're talking about high levels of testosterone. We're talking about being fearless, all the things you need to be a cheater. Now,
did I just hear that right? High level of testosterone. Big balls. These are things to be a cheater. These are things that will make a man a cheater. Let me hear that again.
We're talking about being fearless, all the things you need to be a cheater. Now, we are not... Yeah, he's got big balls, right? What are we thinking when we say that? We're talking about aggression. We're talking about high levels of testosterone. We're talking about being fearless, all the things you need to be a cheater. Now, we are not just animals. We are intellectual animals, and we have consciousness. And biology is certainly not destiny. So there's also a whole bunch of research out there to show what cultural things keep men from cheating, even those with big, giant scrotum. One thing is intelligence. Did you know that the higher one's intelligence, that is more correlated with monogamy?
Bullshit. See, ladies, this is what I'm trying to tell you. You can't listen to this dumb twat. I'm telling you, she's stupid. She just said... God, I don't even want to repeat it. But intellectual... Doesn't matter how what kind of intellect you have. We can go with Bezos, who cheated on his wife with this other girl. We can go with millions of these top guys, head fund guys, who changed their wives into young chicks. It is true. The more money you have, the hotter chick you're going to get. That is the truth. And don't think that's wrong. That is exact. I'm a guy. The more money you have, the more success you have, the hotter chick you're going to get. It's the truth. It's the rule. It's the rule. We're going with Bezos. We're going with everyone you can think of. Donald Trump. What is he, married 3 or 4 times? He trades in his women every time he comes up with a new business. not true. Well, Donald Trump is not an intellectual. Okay, maybe we wrong thing. But the shit is not true. The more intelligent you are, the less you're going to cheat. Hell no. The more intelligent you are, the more you're going to get away with it. That's why you're thinking that they don't cheat. It's because they're too smart to get caught. You're too smart to get caught. Dumb fucks get caught. It's truth. But let's listen to what she has to say.
Giant scrotum. One thing is intelligence. Did you know that the higher one's intelligence, that is more correlated with monogamy? Because they're smart enough to do a cost-benefit analysis of cheating. Well,
they're smart enough to get away with the shit. Honey, I got a business deal in Morocco. I'll be gone for 3 months. Okay, dear, because she's used to living in the type of life that his job provides her. She knows he's cheating, but she's not going to give up. It's not so much she cares about him. She knows he's cheating. When you get a basketball player or baseball player or a sports person, you don't think that they have chicks in those married women that you see them with? They know the deal. It's part of the package. Actors, musicians, same thing. It goes with being them. But, you know, the lifestyle that that guy can provide trumps it. They don't care because you know what they're doing? Because they're cheating too. All of a sudden, she says to you, I know you're going to Morocco for business. Hey, you know what? We need a pool. And you know what comes with a pool? Ramon, the pool boy. Hector, the gardener. Mike, the milkman. Paul, the postal worker. All in the same game, baby. So stop it with, oh, you're so intellectual. What happens if you're intellectual with big balls? You got big, humongous, giant balls, man, and your intellect, it goes against your theory because you're saying intellectual people don't cheat. You know why? Because it's cost. Yeah, it's cost. She's saying because you'll get a divorce and can lose their shit. No, because if he's really smart, he's already signing a prenup. Tons of lawyers. No, you stupid bitch. No, that's not true. But let's go on. I'm losing my shit here. Let's just go on. Here we go.
One thing is intelligence. Did you know that the higher one's intelligence, that is more correlated with monogamy? Because they're smart enough to do a cost-benefit analysis of cheating. Well, wait. If I cheat, that divorce will cost me a lot of money. My kids may not fare as well with a single parent. I'm going to tend to focus here, right? The other thing is religion.
Let me talk to you, ladies. Listen to me. If we're going to cheat, the last thing we're thinking about is our kids. It's the last thing we're thinking about. That's the last. We're not sitting there going, that girl got a nice ass. She got a flat stomach. She's about 27 years old. She can go all night. Last thing I'm thinking about is, I wonder if little Johnny's going to have a sandwich to go to school tomorrow, and if I cheat and tap this, little Johnny's not going to graduate. I'm going to lose little... Fuck Johnny! Fuck little Johnny. You're not even thinking about your kids. This is what I'm trying to tell you, ladies. This is bullshit. And this is why you're so out of touch. This is why you're still with an asshole. And you get to an asshole, and you get in the middle of it, and you go, oh, my God, I tried to... upgrade him, I tried to corral him, or I tried to tone him down. You can't because it's in his DNA. And DNA stands for damn nasty asshole. He's an asshole. You can't change an asshole. And don't go into a relationship thinking you're going to change somebody because you're not. Everybody has good days. Everybody has bad days. You caught him on a good week. And you made the stupid mistake to open your legs and let him go in and feed you. Just like a potted plant. Got the seeds. What is it, like Johnny Appleseed? No, stop it. Relationships are not complicated. People are complicated. You see in front of you what you're going to get. You're going to date and everything. You're going to see him when he gets mad. You're going to see him if he gets jealous. Same thing with you men. You're going to see her get pissed off or she's jealous or she's smothering or whatever. You see this in the dating stage. And then you don't like it, but you think, oh, I want to work it out. Like our friend on, well, I just want to work it out. And she has all the other stuff that I like. Yeah, she has all the other stuff, but the main stuff she doesn't have, meaning faithful to you. Stop it. But if you go with her, now you ladies are going to go with nerds, and you're going to go to bed, and you're going to look at their balls, and you're going to say, okay, he's faithful. No. And maybe he has big balls because he hasn't jacked off a week or two. He's bouncing around, you know, like Super Bowl. Because nerds are going to have big balls because they're not getting laid. So that doesn't work. If you really want somebody, find a small ball guy. He doesn't have that much testosterone. That makes sense, right? But you're going to find a lot of nerds with big, giant balls because who's laying them? Nobody's laying them. Let's go back to her. Here we go. Her and her nonsense.
To do a cost-benefit analysis of cheating. Well, wait. If I cheat, that divorce will cost me a lot of money. My kids may not fare as well with a single parent. I'm going to tend to focus here, right? The other thing is religion. Almost every religion out there preaches family, right? So it's moral teaching. Our mind really can change our human behavior, even when there.
Oh, wow. That blew my mind. Our mind can change our human behavior? Wow. Of course our mind changes our behavior. Sometimes we do things what we're thinking. And sometimes we think wrong because people will tell us, what were you thinking? You see? Easy. It's the math. What were you thinking? I don't know. Of course we know because you did it. You did the dumb shit. So don't get lost in this mumble-jumble psychology bullshit because it breaks down to our minds. If you say some stupid shit like, our minds can dictate our behavior. Of course our minds dictate behavior. You don't think we have to think to do. I don't know anybody in this world that's just saying, my mind shut down, and I'm just going to go around willy-nilly around and drive my car, go shopping, because I'm not thinking. See, this is where the mumble-jumble gets to you. Don't fall for the shit. But here we go. This is why we marry assholes. And then the reason we're talking about it, because women are listening to her. And when women listen, good women are listening to her. Good women. These are women who want to do good, have a good relationship. That's all they want. They're tired of picking assholes. So they listen to her. But she is causing more damage, in my opinion, to nice, innocent women. And some of you ballless men are listening to her and going, oh, I better hide my scrotum or I'll jack off before I go to on a date because I don't want to see her have big balls because you're concentrating on your balls now. See, men, you didn't know that these women are listening to these shows, and this lady is telling them about you have big balls and you're a cheater. See, you don't even know what's going on. That's why men have to listen to women's shows like this to counteract the bullshit that they're feeding our ladies. They're feeding our ladies this garbage. That's why you come home and going, what the fuck do I have? I'm married. That's because she's been listening to this garbage. Garbage. Bullshit. Well, our mind can change our behavior. Of course your mind changes behavior because whatever you think, you do. And you do stupid shit because you're thinking stupid shit. Of course, I didn't know that until I needed to have a psychologist tell me, and here she is.
Preaches family, right? So it's moral teaching. Our mind really can change our human behavior, even when there's a biological impulse to do otherwise. Because all psychology is biology meeting the environment. So the environment are all our relationships and our greater culture and our media messages, and our biology is what we're predestined for. Think of it this way. You could be born with a gene for heart disease and maintain a lifestyle that includes a specific diet and exercise to never have a heart attack, just like a guy could be born with really large testes and not be a cheater. So there you go. That's why ball size matters. I'm Dr. Wendy Walsh.
She needs a couple of balls across her forehead. Maybe she needs some balls. This woman, and we still this is just a little teaser about her. I still haven't got to a part where she's talking about narcissist men. But that's a little thing about her. And I got a special guest in the studio. He's my favorite guy. I hope this is King. Is this King of Kings? Is this Mr. Webb?
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, my brother. Oh, yeah. Man. You know, now we got psychiatrists talking about look at your man's ball size because if he has big balls, he's going to cheat on you. This is what we're this is what women are listening to. Can you believe that?
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, when you got people who they make money with these different titles on tabloids and all that stuff, and especially with articles like this. I mean, some women they're gullible. They'll pay attention to it. And they'll even go out there, and they'll go up and ask a man, "Hey, can I suck your dick?" And they'll look at the balls just to see if it's big or not. And then they'll be like, "Oh wow!" So I mean, but anyway, how you doing this morning? How you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm doing good. How you doing?
Oh man, I'm doing good. I'll probably call you later on today because I want to talk to you. But yeah, everything's going good. Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm glad to hear that, man. I'm always glad to hear your voice, King.
I wanted to share with you that I just got done talking with my book publisher, and so I'm getting everything rolling with that right now.
Damn.
And I'm getting ready. I'm just trying to figure out how I want to do my book cover, you know. So I want my book cover to be very creative. I want it to, you know, grab attention, you know. And so, everything's in the works with that right now. I just got done getting that paid for a few days ago. And everything is good with that now, you know what I mean? And so, but, yeah,
I'm glad.
What's going on to all the listeners out there? I hope everybody's doing good today.
Yeah, and well, I've been off the studio, off the radio in a minute, and so when I come on, I guess I lost my faithful followers. I guess they're off somewhere else. But you know, I gotta build. I'll build it back up. Trust me, I'll build my.
Right.
You know, but
it'll
this
be
one
right.
really.
No, I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Nobody's like me. But, you know, King, I'm tired of the, you know, it's true. So you married an asshole. This is the title of the show. So you married an asshole. You might be an assaholic.
Yeah.
And my name is Brian, and I am an assaholic. And you know, I'm me, right? I mean, you know, I don't lie to chicks, right? I'm single, right? I'm going out. You're going to get what you get. You're going to get like, hey. And she goes, hi. I go, what you doing? Nothing. Well, you're doing something tonight at 7 p.m. Be ready with your number so I can remind you. Here it is. That's what I do. You know? I'm the guy. This has happened. I was in a supermarket. Again, single. And it was like, I don't know, whatever. 30, 35. Single. I'm in a supermarket. I got one thing in my basket. It was a box of Cheerios. That's all I had. And I looked at this girl. God, man, she was beautiful. I didn't care if she was married or what. I didn't care. I looked in her basket. She had steak. I mean, I'm looking at her. I'm not kidding. King, she had stuff. You know, she had steak. She had this wine. She had cheese. She had a nice basket, right? I mean, I couldn't even afford to look at her cart. That's how broke I was. You know, I couldn't afford to look there. But I needed to look. This is all true. I needed to look at it. So I saw her in the meat department. I go, okay. And then she was looking at some meat. I don't know what kind of pork roast or whatever. And she's looking, and I'm looking, and I'm next to her, and I make the move, King. So she reached for something, so I reached across to her to get some meat that I could never afford. You know what I'm saying? And I go, oh, excuse me. yeah, that was the move. I go, oh, excuse me, I didn't mean it. She goes, oh, no, it's okay. And then you play dumb, right? I mean, I'm not familiar with the cut of this. You know what I'm saying. You open up to her, right? I'm not. She's happy to tell me, oh, well, the New York cut is this and the prime is this. And I go, oh, I don't know any difference. I said, I'm looking at your card. I said, I think you know about meat, right? She goes, yeah. I go, yeah, I bet you do. You know, you shake your head with that little smile. She goes, oh, you just nasty. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's right. I said, this is all true. I said, I'm looking in that card. I don't see any guy and everything. She goes, no, I'm just going to cook it for myself. This girl's night out. I'm the only girl. I go, that's a shame. I said, I think I'll come on over. She goes, well, you don't know where I live. I go, not yet. And she goes, oh, you think I'm going to cook for you? I know you're going to cook for me. She goes, well, how do you think that? Because you love to cook for people, and people love your food and your this. But I don't even know you. I go, not yet.
Right?
And I said, I like that wine. You know, I like this wine over here. She goes, I never had that wine. You will. I go, so what time? And before she can answer, I go, look, I'm busy at 7. I got something to do at 8. I should be home around 9. What time you eat dinner? Oh, well, I eat dinner at 6:30. Well, I'll move this appointment here and everything. Let's say 7. Is that cool? She goes, yeah. I go, okay. I go, oh, I'm going to need your phone. I'll tell you what, I don't want to get your phone number because I'm not pushy that way. I don't want to think I'm a creep, right? I'm going to give you my phone number. This is my phone number, and you tell me what time to be over tonight. But you have to let me know within 20 minutes because I got things I got to move around. You know what I'm saying? She goes, oh, I understand. You know what I'm saying? Yes, I understand. Okay, what time are you going to call? I'm going to call you right away. Oh, sure. Okay. Remember, you got the 20-minute thing. Sure enough, within 5 minutes, thing. Can you be over at about 6:30? Here's my address, and this is my phone number. Yeah. All right. Done. Gave her a ride of her life, man. Right? But I'm not the kind of guy. She was not looking for a guy to marry. She was not looking for it. She was looking for some company. You know what I'm saying? And she knows what she had to put out to get that company. You know what I mean? He may be a jerk, but you know what? You know the main fear about women? I'll tell you the main fear about women. Nothing about being homeless. Nothing about this. The main fear of women is to be alone. That's their fear, King. To be alone. Yep. You know, they cannot handle being alone. They can't. So that's their main fear. What do you think, my bud? What do you think, my brother?
I agree because, you know, some of the women that I know, man, it's like they got a boyfriend like every year or 2 years or something, like new boyfriend. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, what is going on? They'd be like, well, I just hate being alone. And I'm like, that's a bad way to be. I said, because you're going to mess around and not want to be alone. You're going to get the wrong person, and who knows what they may do to you or something. You know
that's
what I mean?
Right.
But, you know, I guess women are human, you know, just like us men are human. And I guess some women just feel like they just got to have it. You know what I mean? They got to have somebody, but I don't know. That's a bad way to be. You know,
well,
I mean,
don't
then
give
too,
a,
we got these,
yeah.
Then you got these women who got children, and they carry mm-hmm. that same type of attitude. You know what I mean? It's like they
right.
don't want to be alone. They always want to have somebody. And it's like, wait a minute. You know, put them kids mm-hmm. first. I don't give a damn
right.
if your vagina is so wet and you want some. Put them kids
right.
first because if you get that wrong guy around your kids. Who knows what'll happen? You know what I mean? And it's sad, you know? Like,
it is. Mm-hmm.
Like me, I'm single for a reason. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, it's like every woman I date, all they want is money. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's like, first of all, if we're not living together, don't ask me for no money. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Do not mm-hmm. ask me for no money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we marry, and that's a different story, you know what I mean? But if we're not living under the same roof, we're not sharing bills, don't ask me for no money. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Just like another big turnoff to me is when you could be dating a girl or talking to a girl, and one of their relatives or somebody come and be like, hey, can I have some money? That's a big turnoff for me, because if I'm your friend, if I'm your whoever you say, whatever title, then you should be able to put your foot down and say, hey, don't do that. That's disrespectful. You know what I mean? But it's just different for me. That's the reason why I have more female friends than I do have guy friends, you know what I mean? Because it's just some of these females, it's like, no, I ain't. So that's why I'm single, you know? I mean.
Right. Well, yeah. You know, as you get, and you're absolutely right. See, women have this, they have this inner clock in them for, I want to have a baby, you know, that clock is ticking. Okay, now we get past that clock. Now, here's where it gets dangerous. Now, when a woman, and they'll argue, and it's a truth, and women, I tell women, listen to a guy show if you want to know about men. Now, women know that when they're 35, forget the clock of the baby. Now their clock of getting old, meaning that they're out of the market. Most guys who are 35 are not going with a 35-year-old woman. Most guys who have money or whatever, they're going with a 27-year-old. They're not even thinking about being with a 35-year-old. They're not thinking about it. And so now her range is, she's hoping to get somebody 47. And as she gets older, she's out of the market, because any guy, even a guy who's 47 and he's got solid gold, he got records and this and this and this, he's on tour, I guarantee you a man is not going out with a 47-year-old woman. He's up there banging 27-year-olds, 30-year-olds. You're out of the market. So what a lot of women do, they get desperate. So you're right. So now they get desperate and psychotic. And they'd be willing to get your dick wet for you to, it's called the pussy trap, for the hold on to you, because they know you're the only one paying attention to them. If you don't pay attention to them, nobody's going to pay attention, because they know they're out of the job. Their body is not looking 22 anymore. Their body's not 27 anymore. Chances are you probably had one or two kids, and no single man is going to go out with a woman 34 years old with children. You're out of the market.
So then on a professional level, if a woman in her mid-30s or 40s get a younger man, that would basically mean she would be their primary investor.
Right. And that's what's happening.
She would be giving her money all the time.
That's right. And that's right. And so the thing is, let's be fair, more women are making so much money. The pandemic, they started hiring jobs for women, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so now you're the breadwinner. And you marry some guy who's out of work, who play Xbox from 2 to 3 years old. That's what you got. That's what you got.
Mm-hmm.
Don't complain about it. You knew that he was a gamer when you met him. So you can't start yelling, and this is what women do. You can't start yelling at him, complaining about him because he's a gamer. There's nothing wrong with him. He's always been a gamer. You went for the gamer. See, women, the weak thing I think about women do is that they don't hold themselves accountable. They're always victims. You know what I mean? Oh, well, look at me, and I didn't know this, and this, and this. They always complain that they're victims, and they're not holding themselves accountable for decisions they made. And that goes with the title, You Married an Asshole. That's right. You might be an assaholic. You might be attracted to these guys, but you can't be mad at him, because that's who he is. You got to be mad at yourself to make the wrong choices, right, King? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, you're right.
Can't complain about it, you know? And they blame the man. Well, he's just this, and he's just this. He was always this. He was always that before you opened his legs. And all of a sudden, now you're complaining? He's always been.
What?
So we're going to take one break. The great King Webb is in the studio today, everybody. I am Brian the Hammer Jackson. If you want to call in and you're married to an asshole, what's that, King?
How long are you going to be on today?
I'll be on for about another half an hour, my brother. So if you have to do something, I'll be back. I mean, I'll be right here. I'm just going to take a break.
Okay. Well, no, I got an appointment with this lady. Because I'm going to let this lady help me redo I'm going to do a new resume, you know, because I'm going to get me a resume together so I can have it on file for other stuff, you know. And so I'm going to get that done today, but I'll be leaving like around 1 o'clock, so.
Well, I'll tell you what, no, I'll be on tomorrow. You got my number. You got my number. We'll be talking.
Yeah, I'm gonna call you later. I'm gonna call you later.
All right.
Because I might try to make it out there to California next week for spring break. Bring the kids out there, go to the beach. So I'm gonna call you later.
You know what? I would love that, man. I would love that. All right, let's get on the phone later. I'm going to go through the break, but tomorrow I'll be on too. I don't know when I'll be on. It'll probably be early in the morning. All right, man. Hey, King, thanks for stopping by. Right. That's King Webb, everybody. Right. That, my friend
later,
and the artist himself. Thank you. All right, we'll be right back after this break, and we'll talk about Wendy Walsh again and her opinions on what to do towards men. And we'll get to the part where she talked about being a narcissist. I'm Brian Hammond Jackson. We'll be right back. And if you'd like to come into the studio, only got a little bit of time left. I got about 28 minutes. The number is 319-527-6099. That's the number, 319-527-6099. And we'll be right back. So you married an asshole. You might be an assaholic. I don't know. But here we go. We'll be right back.
I need me a bitch with some big old thighs. I need me a fine-ass motherfucking bitch with some pretty-ass eyes. I need me a bitch like I need some cash. I need me a bitch so I can floss that hoe and make my ex mad. I need me a bitch. Ain't no need to lie. I need me a bitch. So when I do some dirt, she be my alibi. I need me a bitch, like I need a 6-4. I need me a bitch, satisfying my rims up and open my soul. I need me a bitch, who was all of that. I need me, cause I'm a fly-ass motherfucking nigga who was born and mad. I need me a bitch, like never before. I need me a bitch, and I couldn't care less if the bitch is yours.
Got a bitch with cheeks, got a house up on the beach. Every week she called me just to beat up the peach. Till she reached a climax, scratches on my back. Hit it from the back, baby told me she liked that. In fact, you the first one to make it feel right. I knew she wasn't lying, knew the cat was real tight. And after tonight, you gon' remember me on robbery. Put my love up there where your liver be. I told her never speak on me. Unless you want your burnt out friends to creep with me. Go to sleep with me, I hit it frequently. Get the women off the chain, conduct game. Never seen bitches run the train, it ain't the same. After I knock it out the frame, you wonder why just now you start getting brain. I knock them out, pull chickens without a doubt. Clout, ask Nate, this is what I'm all about.
I need me a bitch. 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 Who ain't hard to please. I need me a fine-ass motherfucking bitch with some startup knees. Ain't scared to flirt. I need me in the middle of the grocery store to lift up her skirt. I need me a bitch like I need my crew. I need me a bitch to pass on to my boy as soon as I get through. I need me a bitch. This I can't deny. I can't deny. I love her when she wild out cause she still looks fly. I need me a bitch. And a two-fifth. I need me a car with a big back seat so I can make her squeal. I need me a bitch. Like I need a drink. Who can hold her breath real good to see the swim and sink.
You're listening to Brian Hammer and Show. And today, we're talking about something that a lot of you married women know. So you married an asshole. You might be an alcoholic. And it's not your fault. But let me tell you something, ladies. Like I said, I was gone for a minute, but you guys need me, really? I told you, this whole show started because I was listening to some woman. Her name is Dr. Wendy Walsh. The same woman we just played the clip about your balls. And she was telling you, ladies, that if you had big balls, if your man has big balls, that you're going to cheat on her. Because you're aggressive and you have testosterone and this, that he's a cheater. So now you ladies are going to go out and you're going to be looking at the men and you're going to pull their pants down and you're going to see that he has big balls and you're going to think he's a cheater. See, this is dangerous talk. This is dangerous talk. And you're listening to her. And you're getting screwed up. And I say it all the time. If a woman really want to know how a man thinks, she needs to listen to a man's show. Vice versa. Men, if you want to learn how to, you want to know how a woman thinks, you need to listen to a woman's show. So you see what's in her head. What's going on there? Because it's true. Listen, ladies, you're not dumb. But here's what you do. You are not accountable. You don't hold your decisions well. You are not accountable of the mistake that you make, and you will not admit it. You will blame him. And if you're dating an asshole right now, or you're with an asshole, or you have kids with assholes, and your kids are going to be little assholes, running around little assholes, because they're going to grow up to be little assholes. If you marry an asshole, you're going to have asshole kids. The little bastards are running around free, loose, causing havoc. Because he has asshole parents. And let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you something. Ladies, when you start dating, you know he's an asshole. You know everything about him. You know he's aggressive. You know he's a moron. You know he makes stupid decisions. You know this. But you know how you cover it up? You romanticize it. Yeah, you do. Here's how you do it. You call it bad boy. He's a bad boy. No, he's an asshole. And you always want to go out with the bad boys because bad boys do stupid things. Cool, they do. But you're going to marry the good guy. But you're going to get bored of the good guy because guess what? He's not an asshole. He does everything right. This is the guy. He's kind of passive. He'll watch little shows with you and he'll do the fake cry, whatever. And that's the guy you want to control. It's hard to control the bad boy or the asshole because, see, they have no rhyme or rhythm of what they do. They do stupid shit. They're impulsive. You ask an asshole, why did you do that? He'll say the same thing. I don't know. Because that's what assholes do. I don't know. You just did something stupid. I know. Why did you do it? I don't know. This is the excuse for everything. But this is what you married. So when you do marry him and you find out that you're with an asshole, he's always been an asshole. Then you wonder why, and you talk to your girlfriends. Well, how's Bob doing? Oh, Bobby's still an asshole. Well, how's Fred? Fred, I divorced him. What an asshole. See, but you're never holding yourself accountable that you married an asshole because you knew he was an asshole. Well, I didn't know he was an asshole. Yes, you did. You know why you did? Because he showed you asshole behavior, and you ignored it. And then you have the nerve to blame him because he's an asshole. No, you can't blame the asshole. The asshole is the asshole. You have to blame yourself why you are attracted to the asshole. You may be an assaholic. You need to go to the 12-step program because you are attracted to assholes. That's right. Can you be happy with an asshole? Yeah, of course you can if you accept him for who he is. My behavior is very assholic-like. Yeah. People have tried to tame me, and you know, it works for a couple of times. I mean, short of a lobotomy, I don't think I'm going to turn to be a nice guy. But I am an asshole. And, you know, women are assholes, too. We just call them bitches. And guys, the same thing. You can't get married to this beautiful woman, and if you have kids by her, and you're up to kind of love, you stand in front of the altar and in front of God, and I promise of love and sickness and health. Well, you don't know how, well, sickness includes mental illness, dude. That's sickness. I mean, they should change the vows. Do you promise to love her in mental illness and other sickness and health? Because she's nuts. She's crazy. You're with the cycle. You know she's cycle, but you know why? I don't know what it is. You guys look at that white dress, and all of a sudden you think, oh, look how innocent she is. You know she's a psychotic killer. She's a nutcracker. And bet she's a freak. And you love the freakness. I mean, she's climbing a wall. She spank her bottom. She goes, thank you, sir. May I have a cookie? This is what you love. And then all of a sudden, you have the nerve to say, I wonder if she's going to cheat on me. Of course she's going to cheat on you. Somebody has a bigger belt and a bigger cookie. But you know when you went in it, you know that she is not the right person for you. And you sit there 5 years later, your kids are on probation and they're only 6 years old. And you're sitting there going, what happened? Well, that's because you married a bitch, and then you got little bitches running around. You got three little bitches running around your house and one asshole, one kid, because this is the environment you bring them in. This is it. You can't get mad at the asshole because he's an asshole. And here's Dr. Wendy Walsh again. This is, I can't fast forward her. I can't do it. But I wanted to get to a part where she says, are you with a narcissist? Now, again, I have to say the background on this woman, Dr. Wendy, I was pissed off. Here I was. It was the nighttime. And, you know, I'm in there and I'm brushing my teeth. I said, I'll put on the radio. It's nighttime. I'm going to relax. And her voice came on my radio and she's talking about narcissists and bad men and how men are cruel and ladies watch out. I'm going, what the fuck is going on here? Piss me off. I was going to call that radio station, but I was too high. Couldn't find a phone. But I would have. But here's a little bit about her. I'm hoping I can get past her little other stuff. This is her show. I can't fast forward it. So you have to bear with me. Here she is. She's talking about relationships, I guess. And again, I have to remember, I have to remind you, this is a woman who brought down Bill O'Reilly, who claimed that she, Bill O'Reilly talked to her on the phone and she was sexually harassed and ruined his career. And here she is on the radio talking about how to become a secure slut and how men with big balls cheat. And she's going to talk about hookups, being a slut, and being a narcissist. But yet she got really offended when she was on the phone with Bill O'Reilly because he talked about a dildo. This woman got offended and she wanted Bill O'Reilly to sponsor her show. Bill O'Reilly said no, and all of a sudden she claimed sexual harassment. This is not, she may be a doctor, but she's an opportunist. And guess what? Bill O'Reilly is a stupid idiot. Men, there's opportunists out there, but if you're a broke nigga, you don't have to worry about it. Nobody has no opportunity. This is why broke people are okay, because only if you have money, opportunists will come out there. They'll come. It's an opportunity. And I can't blame them for taking the opportunity. If you're that stupid, why not? More power to them. It's a career choice. But here's Wendy Walsh. I want you to listen to her for a little minute because this is advice she's giving women. Men, you're in trouble because this is what women are listening to.
We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. You have Dr. Wendy Walsh with you. Our hearts go out to the people of Ukraine as they continue to be under attack. And anybody with a heart, with compassion, with empathy, is probably feeling worry with them. I am fortunate to have a guest next who can tell us more about what's going on. Unfortunately, her level of stress is much higher than ours.
Okay, I can't pass forward it. And you're going to talk about Ukraine. Let's just see how she takes a phone call.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate the exposure and interest
to talk about this. Now, the first question I have to ask you is how often have you been in touch with your family, and are you able to? I mean, has communication been lost at all?
No, well, we worry about that, but we stay in touch, and I've been in touch with my brother and his family all week. They're in Odessa, Ukraine.
Blah, 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 blah. Who cares? Who cares? Who cares? Like she cares. Who the fuck cares? All right, let's get to the narcissist. I can't fast forward this, but I hate the patronizing of the talk, and I feel like I'm that fake I care, and...
Person.
Yeah, let's get, she's good. Can you describe the condition? Let's go for the heart thing, right? Well, you know, we left our country, okay. Well, we're under attack by Russians, okay. My husband got shot in the ass, okay. I'm going to a camp that I have no money, no nothing, I got kids, okay. So tell me, describe the conditions. You know the conditions. The conditions are horrible. But let's have the people hear about it so we can tug on your heart, okay? So let's listen to this.
Residential homes building all over Ukraine. The other day, the Russian army did not let the International Red Cross to approach the wounded. They kind of feel, people are just feeling like they don't want to and they can't eat or sleep for now 3 days in a row. And
that's stress.
I am trying to fast forward this nonsense, but I can't.
They run to the shelters and their basements. A couple of days ago, you literally can hear all of the, you know, Russian missiles go and being shot by the air defense. God bless them. You know, local reporters saying that there's a total of, I think, 11 Russian warships left from Crimea for Odessa this evening. Well, their evening, our morning.
Blah, 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 blah. We'll get to a part where the narcissist says, I mean, come on. All right, so that's what I'm listening to. So on one ear, I'm going to be listening till she gets to that part. But is it bad being with a narcissist? I think it's great being a narcissist. You should be happy you're with a narcissist. Narcissists are the best people in the world. One of my heroes is a narcissist. You want to hear who he is? I'll tell you who my hero is. And he's a narcissist. Wait a minute, this windy thing is in my ear, this stupid blah, blah, blah crap. Hold on, they're still talking about Ukraine. Let me see if I can mute her. Okay, hold on. You know, I'll keep letting her play. I wonder if I can mute her. Let's see if I can mute her and let her keep playing. All right, I'm going to mute this. One of my best heroes are narcissists. Here he is, right here.
This is the legend of Cassius Clay, the most beautiful fighter in the world today.
What should people tell their kids who Muhammad Ali was?
Clay is lightning fast.
He was a tremendous bolt of lightning.
I am the greatest.
Muhammad Ali struck us in the middle of America's darkest night, in the heart of its most threatening gathering storm.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Cassius Marcellus Clay. He's young, he's handsome.
They know it.
He's a poet, and many people believe he'll be the next heavyweight champion of the world.
He was leaning back and away from punches.
Cassius Clay, you gotta remember, is the greatest fighter that ever lived in and out of the ring.
Will unquestionably be the toughest fighter that Clay has been in with so far.
Created by Mother Nature out of thin air. A fantastic combination of power and beauty.
And he combined that velocity with the power of the heavyweight.
Moore is sent to the canvas again by a barrage of punches.
He predicted the round that he would knock somebody out in, and then he would do it.
Clay wins by a fourth round knockout, as predicted.
He was the first available superstar.
He was funny. He was beautiful. He was the most perfect athlete you ever saw, and those were his own words.
He saw the publicity it brought. And what did the publicity equal? A larger and larger presence on the American stage.
Sonny, listen, I watched him here in the gym a few months ago, and he was here to fight as Howard King. And he can hit a guy in the elbows and just about break his arm.
Liston was a virtually invisible, just a dreadnought of a fighter.
Liston was a great fighter. I seen him knock out a guy's teeth one night. It's the truth, no baloney. Hit him so hard, he dislodged the mouthpiece and the teeth went with the mouthpiece.
He had this very forbidding, intimidating, utterly hostile manner about him.
He was so powerful. Honest to God, when he jabbed you.
Yeah. That's it. These are symptoms, and we're going to get to Wendy, because she went after narcissist men. And I'm going to play it slowly that you, or I'm sorry, quietly that you can't hear, because I want to get to that part that really upset me. So we're getting this bullshit like she really cares about Ukraine. Shut up. It's fake, fake. So maybe in my other ear I'm listening to her till we get to the part that I like. But in meanwhile, she went after narcissists. All right, here's a, and here it is, narcissistic personality disorder. Let's see if you're with a narcissist. I don't know. You might be that lucky. Here's the symptoms of a narcissist. Here we go. And tell me if it's bad. I don't think it's bad. If you are experiencing new, severe, or persistent symptoms, contact a healthcare provider. Why would you have to have that disclaimer? Like, narcissists are mentally ill? I'm looking at symptoms, and it says if you are experiencing new, severe, or persistent symptoms, contact a healthcare. No. Here we go. Symptoms that may vary from person to person, the most common symptoms include, and this is if you're with a narcissist or you may be a narcissist, being overly boastful, exaggerating one's own achievement. Huh. Check. Check in the box. I mean, I'm a humble guy. I'm a shy guy. I don't like to brag that I'm number one. I don't like to brag that I'm amazing because I let other people do it for me. So I think I get a little check as a humble narcissist. Number two, pretending to be superior to others. Okay, I don't pretend. I am, but it's okay. So I'm not checking that box. Lack of empathy for others. I care. So I'm going to uncheck it because I do care for others. I have empathy. Looking down on others as inferior. Okay, well, we got different class of people. I mean, it's so general, right? We all do, right? I mean, I'm not going to be sitting in a theater full of nerds watching The Batman, right? I mean, look at these idiots, right? They can't throw a punch, and they still got the tape on their glasses. I mean, come on. Come on. They couldn't even get laid in a Playboy magazine. I mean, these guys, of course, I think I'm better. Monopolizing conversations. No. Well, some say I do, but no. Impatient, angry, unhappy, depressed, or had mood swings when criticized. I take criticism very well, by the way. Easily disappointed when expected importance is not given. Easily disappointed when expected importance is not given. You know, I do have that problem. I'm going to have to check that box. I am very disappointed in you guys. You have not reached your full potential, and I'm very disappointed. I wasted my time. I'm out. Yeah, I have that. So far, so good. I'm pretty damn good. Okay, here's the other thing. Always craves for the best in everything. What is so wrong with that? I don't know who comes up with, you know what? I go to a restaurant. Please, don't give me the best food you have. Can you give me something that's mediocre? Or, you know, I want to be so boastful. Maybe something that maybe you made when you're just thinking about something. Give me the shit. Who doesn't want the best? When you go buy things in the store, you're trying to get the best meat, the best toy, the best this, the best cart, the best parking space. I mean, we're geared that way, right? You want the best clothes. You want the best thing for your kids. Is that bad? You want the best schools when they get to a university. Is that bad? Of course you need the best of everything. What mediocre motherfucker is going to settle for shit? See, that's the dumb shit. Has a very frail self-esteem. That's the last one. Has a very frail self-esteem. Really? 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 Huh. Okay. No. I'm arguing with my other self, but I can't argue with myself because he's a narcissistic pig, so I lose the battle. Well, these are the symptoms if you're with a narcissist. Now, the complications that a narcissist has is they have a disturbance in social relationships. They have a disturbance at home, school, and or the office. They have depression, drug and alcohol abuse, and suicidal thoughts. Hey, it goes with the territory. You can't have everything, right? So I'm saying, I don't know what's wrong for someone to be with a narcissist. that wants the best of everything, that think that they can do everything, and they can move mountains, and they think that they're the best. I don't see you millennial bullshit motherfuckers, you up there, you little pussy men. And I think you're brought up with sharing, thoughtfulness, empathy, and what you do, and it's because you do, you give up things for the good of one. You give up, you sacrifice. And I think that's the millennials' thing. They sacrifice, even love and relationship. Let me tell you something. No woman wants a weak-ass millennial pussy man. Stop it. Grow some balls. That's the difference between a millennial and an old-school guy. I'm saying don't be abusive and don't be mean. You can still be a narcissist if you're not abusive, if you're not mean. You treat people with respect, love who you're with, protect your family, but you don't have to, and people say, well, everything centers around you. Well, it kind of does, but it has room for somebody else. I mean, you could love someone as much as you love yourself, and I don't think it's a bad thing. But nowadays, with this narcissist thing, it's giving it a bad rap. And I'm trying to listen to Wendy. Time is running out. I'm going to extend the time, which I should not, maybe another 15 minutes, see if we can get to what I was talking about. Here we go.
I need to talk about why bedroom activities are a much higher risk hobby for women than they are for men, and I want to talk about your romantic attachment style. You are listening to the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show on KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio.
Okay, she's going to come back to talk about something I'm very interested in. Nobody cares about what's going on in Ukraine. Now, listen, let me comment on it. We do care. We do care. But, I mean, but we also have shit that we have to take care of now. In California, the indoor mask mandate is over. People are running around with no mask. How they're going to react? How are you going to react when somebody actually holds you and gives you a hug? How are you going to react when somebody actually shakes your head? I mean, for 2 years, we've been antisocial. This is going to be a really change. How are we going to act when our kids are going to school without masks? Some of us have grandkids and everything like this. How are we going to act when they go to preschool and there's no mask and everything? We have more to talk about. Let me see if Wendy has something to say right now before I go to something else. Here we go. Okay, she's playing. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a quick break right now. We're almost done. But you really have to hear what she has to say. And we'll be right back. You're listening to Hammer Radio Network. I'm Brian Hammer Jackson. This is the number to call in, 319-527-6099. I am Brian, and I am an assaholic. And you may be also an assaholic. We'll be right back to listen to Wendy Walsh and her dating relationship. She's evil, y'all. She's evil. We'll be right back.
You can't keep letting motherfuckers walk all over you. You don't need to be playing too nice with everybody. But what if I'm not strong enough? Who you gonna listen to? Them or Tina Snow? What you need to do is go in there and show them that you that bitch.
You right. I am that bitch. I know.
I'd rather keep it real with ya.
Real hot girl shit. It ain't always about what you like, sometimes it's about what's right.
I'd rather be your B-I-T-C-H, cause that's what you gon' call me when I'm trippin' anyway. You know you can't control me, baby, you need a real one in your life. The bitches ain't gon' give it to you, right? I'd rather be your B-I-T-C-H, cause that's what you gon' call me when I'm trippin' anyway. You know you can't control me, baby, you need a real one in your life. The bitches ain't gon' give it to you, right? Why you wanna play with me? You know I'm undefeated. A real high girl know how to keep a nigga heated. You say you want respect, or treat me how you wanna be treated. You told me to keep it real, but you don't practice what you preaching. You want me to blow your phone up and come and looking for you till I find you. You really want me to book the hoe that you fucking with if I find her. Bitch, you ain't that busy, I don't give a fuck what you ain't got time for. You look me in my eyes and know you lying, man, that's far, bro. Man, you knew I was a player, so you made me need to relax. You know that you gon' hate me if I get the plan, get back. I ain't turning to no damage when you met me, boy, I've been there. You
trying to make me something that I ain't, and I ain't with that. I'd rather be a B-I-T-C-H, cause that's what you gon' call me when I'm tripping anyway. You know you can't control me, baby. You need a real one in your life. Them bitches ain't gon' give it to you, right? I'd rather be a B-I-T-C-H, cause that's what you gon' call me when I'm tripping anyway. You know you can't control me, baby. You need a real one in your life. Them bitches ain't gon' give it to you, right? I got my mind on getting paid. We ain't focused some days. He probably thinking I'm in pain, but I'm really on game. Ain't no nigga finna stop me. Independent, I got me. All the shit that I be needing can't depend on the prolly. And that's fucked up cause you know that I don't fuck with nobody. I be quiet, but you out here telling stories one-sided. I ain't perfect and I try to fix the shit that ain't working. But it's 2020, I ain't finna argue about twerking. Since you wanna test some waters, might as well jump in with both feet. If you leave me and you see me, better act like you don't know me. If you think your shit get better with another bitch, go get her. When you realize she ain't got you like I got you, I can't help you. I'd rather be your B-I-T-C-H, cause that's what you gon' call me when I'm tripping anyway. You know you can't control me, baby. You need a real one in your life. Them bitches ain't gon' give it to you, right? I'd rather be your B-I-T-C-H, cause that's what you gon' call me when I'm tripping anyway. You know you can't control me, baby. You need a real one in your life. Them bitches ain't gon' give it to you, right? I'd rather be your B-I-T-C-H, cause that's what you gon' call me when I'm tripping anyway. You know you can't control me, baby. You need a real one in your life. Them bitches ain't gon' give it to you, right? I'd rather be your B-I-T-C-H.
Go. You're listening to Hammer Radio Network. I am Brian Hammer Jackson. So the moral of the story is, when you ladies are talking about, I married an asshole, or you men talking about, I married a bitch, they were always assholes and they were always bitches when you met them. You didn't bet them enough. Has nothing to do with them. Quit blaming them. Quit trying to find a guy who's a bad boy, and then you're going to try to make him a good boy. So you can have both worlds. Sometimes people are people. And you have to realize decisions have consequences. Unfortunately, it comes in the way of divorce. Sometimes it comes in the way of murder. But you have consequences with every decision you make. So yes, he probably was an asshole, but it was your fault for not vetting him enough, or your fault ignoring some of the warning signs because something's wrong with you. It has nothing to do with them. If they're a moron, they will be a moron. You cannot make a moron into a hero. You cannot do that. And if you're a hero, he's kind of a narcissistic pig. Look at the Batman. Look at our heroes. Look at Superman. Look at their heroes. And if you ever notice that our comic book heroes, they are very disturbed motherfuckers. These people got problems. Name any comic book hero. They got some major psychotic problems. But we're attracted to them. What's in it? What's inside us that we are attracted to that kind of behavior? Because we must hold ourselves accountable, and we can't blame people for who they are, because you know who they are. You have an idea of who they are. Nobody just becomes an asshole. Oh, he was a nice guy after 6 years, after 2 kids. I just realized he was an asshole. No, he was always an asshole. You just ignored it. It's not his fault or her fault. I just realized she was a bitch. You knew she was a bitch when you were dating. You just wanted to get your dick wet. And she did some freaky shit that you said, damn. And what happened after, you go, damn. You don't want nobody else to have no freaky shit, so you decide to marry her. And then you got freaky shit. And then you wonder, you know, I hope you don't cheat on me because you like to put a dildo on a wall and fuck it. And then you say, you're just a sex-crazed woman. And then you're worried that she's going to cheat on you. You knew that in the beginning, that she's a wall fucker. What is wrong with you? But here's the problem when we get in that gray area. So when we get into trouble, our friends, and they'll tell us what we want to hear, and then you hear this, so you go to talk radio, and you go to the psychiatrist, and you think this woman or this man who's a psychiatrist is going to fix all your problems. They don't even know you. but yet they're going to have the answers to make you well. No, they don't. People talk about soul searching and stuff like that. You know, let me tell you, you know, nobody, you know, somebody asked me, are you a leader or a follower? There's two people in the world. You're a leader or you're a follower. Some people say I'm a leader mentality. No, I'm not a leader mentality. I do my own thing and I do what I believe, but I'm reckless. I'm not going to follow a leader like me. In fact, I don't even want to be the leader. I want to be the leader's best friend because usually the leader gets killed and I can write a book about him and get rich. I don't want to be the guy who gets killed. I don't want to be the leader. But people follow people who are stupid and dumb fucks because they see things in themselves and wish they could be assertive as that person. You know who I'm talking about? Let me tell you who I'm talking about. How about this dude here? I'll tell you something about this dude. He is a dumb fuck, but he's a leader. Why do people follow him? Listen to this dude.
This is a big crowd. You set an all-time record. This is a big crowd. I wish the press just one time would turn those cameras around. They go back. Football feels back. Thank you.
Now, in the beginning, you could tell this guy's a dickhead. He's holding a rally, which is Donald Trump. And the only thing he talks about in his first opening statement is, look how big the crowd is. They came to see me. If you don't believe me, I want you to turn the cameras around and show you how big this crowd is so they want to hear me. It's all about me. This is a narcissist. This is all about me. And they're good narcissists and bad narcissists. It's all about me. We see the warning signs. This, Trump, this, bankruptcy, this, bankruptcy, this. Putin, he's known as Putin's bitch, Comrade Trump. But again, he has so many people following. And you have to wonder, Trump is who he is. And you can call Trump an asshole all you want to, but you cannot call 27 million people following Trump. So what is wrong with them? You have to think. Here's Wendy Walsh one more time. And I think she's going to talk about relationships. Here she is.
Okay, we're all going to, like, get the fear out of our body. Take a deep breath. The news cycle, we'll give it a break. And let's talk about our own love lives a little bit. Let's focus on the micro and what matters. You know, sometimes people who don't understand evolutionary psychology get mad at me when I say things like, well, women do and men do. Indeed, I have students at Cal State Channel Islands who go, why are you putting gender on it? I'm actually talking about biological sex, XX chromosome versus XY. We certainly know that gender is a cultural construct. We know that there's also a wide variety of biological sex, different variations of those sex chromosomes. But the majority of humans tend to fall into one category or another biologically. And we have evolved to have different reproductive strategies, different mating strategies. Women, of course, have that all-important egg that they need to protect. And, well, they have 400 of them, actually. They drop one a month. And they can have basically about one baby a month, or a year, sorry, one baby a year. That's about it. That's about the best you can do. You know, my mother was Irish. I'm an Irish twin. Means I have a brother that's a month older than me. I mean, nine. What do you say? It means two babies coming in the same calendar year. So, but generally, 10 months, that's about it. Men, of course, could have a baby every single day if they could find a woman to participate who happened to be ovulating, et cetera. So for women, the risk of reproduction is so much higher than it is for men. Have you ever heard of a man dying during pregnancy? No. Well, there was a time when actually nearly half of women died during pregnancy before modern medicine. So sex is a high-risk hobby for women. Even though we've become liberated, even though we have some protections, birth control, condoms to protect from some STIs, etc., the truth is that still women, because of their unique biology, have a higher risk of contracting an STI. a higher risk of falling in love, because during sex, women's bodies emit so much oxytocin. It's not that men don't. It's that the oxytocin they emit is trumped by the experience, the experience of testosterone, a big surge of testosterone. So they don't have, how we get all lovey, cuddly, cushy, lovey, even if it's kind of like a situationship or a friend with benefits or a hookup, we still feel like all warm. They don't feel that. Men will report that they have much better sex if they're in love with somebody, but they don't fall in love through sex. They fall in love through trust and loyalty. And sorry, folks, this is not the 1950s talking. This is our modern biology. Men don't trust women who give them sex too easily because they're thinking that she's giving it to lots of other guys just as easily. And then they're worried again.
Wrong, wrong, and wrong. Listen, stop it with that stupid thing. And we're going back to, I'm going to wait to the fourth date to give it to you. It doesn't matter when you give it to us, as long as you give it to us. The first date, the 5 days, they're still giving it to us. Shut up. No. Nowadays, with the hookup, which is swipe left, swipe right, a lot of women are swiping. The guys don't give a fuck. This is not the Stone Age. Women empowered their sexuality in a year, whatever. It goes back to when they started buying dildos when they're on sale. Women are empowering their sexuality. There's no more that women are taking control of who they are, which is great. And there are women out there who are just going there getting a guy's dick wet. They know exactly what to do. I'm going to tell you something. I tell you something, men. Women know in the first 30 seconds that they're going to go to bed with you. On that date, as soon as you show up, they'll look at you. They know the first 30 seconds if they're going to go to bed with you. I don't care what you do afterwards, whether it's dinner or whatever. That's just bonus. Women are empowered, and thank God for that. They know what they want. Some women, stop it with that, I want to fall in love with you and emotional. And again, she's telling women, don't do this because then a man is not attached. Women don't care anymore. They're in control. They know what they want, and they go get it. And there's nothing wrong with that. So I'm going to tell you, if you're one of those horny girls that go out on a date and you don't eat, you eat a salad and you do this, you do everything, then you go home and you put your face in a half gallon of ice cream and you don't even use a spoon. You're just licking the carton and you're eating the carton and everything because you're so, you're at home relaxing. And because you're thinking you didn't give it to him, you go to that drawer and you get that vibrator and you do yourself like some lumberjack chopping wood. So you're vibrating and all that and dildoing until the next date. And then you go, no, and you go home and you ram that dildo. You even call it his name, the guy you went out with. You rename your dildo Ted. Ted's there. So you finally give it to him. And he's not thinking, oh, she's hard to get. Oh, she waited. Let me tell you how stupid it is. Are you telling me that guys are saying, I waited a week before we had sex, 7 days. That tells me she's a good girl. What? She only waited 7 days, you idiot. It's not like she waited a year. That tells you nothing. That tells me that what she's trying to do is she's looking at you saying, I'm not giving him the pussy because I'm undecided. I'm going to tell you, sometimes it's better if a woman doesn't like you. I'll tell you the best sex I ever had is the rebound sex. And you get a woman who's just freshly off of a divorce. You can smell the divorce, the paper, the ink on the paper. It's like perfume. Just the smell of the ink, just right off the paper. She just got divorced. Her first guy that she's going to be with, she's going to fuck the living motherfucking head off this guy. She's going to be like the nutcracker in that little Halloween or that holiday thing, the nutcracker. She's going to fuck you like you haven't been. You know why she's going to fuck you? Because she doesn't care. You're the what we call it, you're not the guy that she's going to marry. You're the first guy. She's going to get every aggravation on you. She's going to slap you, things she hasn't done. She'll probably beat you with the belt if you're lucky. She's going to ramp. It's the best sex you're ever going to have because she doesn't care. When a woman stretches it out to 3 or 4 days, it's because she's looking at you as a possible person in her life. She's judging you. It's not that she doesn't want to fuck you. Not that she doesn't want to get your dick wet. She wants to jump on you, rip off her panties, and sit on your face before you get dessert. But she's going to curb that impulse because she's going to size you up. It's all about mind controlling and flirting. So having sex the first hour or having sex 6 days does not determine anything to a guy. It is not. You can have a guy who very loves you from afar and worship you from far and has a great date, and you can be the lady. You take him home, and you guys, you know, you ladies, you do the same thing. You have a little drink. Goes, oh, my God, I never did that before. Yeah, you got that excuse in your thing. Stop it. This is so dangerous listening to this bitch. We're almost done. And this is what I'm trying to tell you guys. This is what women are listening to. This is why when you go out, she's been listening to this woman. And you have to understand what women are listening to get into their heads. You're too busy listening to guy shit when you're not listening to women's shit. Every guy should listen to women's shit to get to know what women are listening to and what's in their head. And so here we go.
Loyalty, and sorry folks, this is not the 1950s talking. This is our modern biology. Men don't trust women who give them sex too easily because they're thinking that she's giving it to lots of other guys just as easily. And then they're worried. Again,
bullshit. Let me tell you something. Women, don't listen. I'm going to tell you something. If a man puts his dick in your mouth, trust me, he trusts you. Done. He trusts you. There's a lot of things that go wrong where a man put his dick in your mouth, especially if you have braces. Oh, don't even think about this. I mean, this one time, forget it. But if you're putting your most vulnerable organ into a woman's mouth, he trusts her. Man, that one. Let's go back.
Raising another guy's genes. Women also are more likely to catch an 18-year case of parenthood. And here's another thing. 1/3 of women in our culture have suffered some kind of childhood abuse. Whether that abuse...
That is true. I will agree with her, maybe higher. They have. And it's not a laughing matter. I feel sorry for her, but they grew up to be freaks. And I enjoy freaks. The more fucked up they are, the better sex you're going to have. It's the truth. It's reality. They're going to do some weird shit. Sorry, but it's true. And I enjoy some of the weird shit. Let's continue on. It's true.
Trust women who give them sex too easily. Because they're thinking that she's giving it to lots of other guys just as easily. And then they're worried... Again, this is ancient unconscious anthropology. They're worried about raising another guy's genes. Women also are more likely to catch an 18-year case of parenthood. And here's another thing. 1/3 of women in our culture have suffered some kind of childhood abuse. Whether that abuse was sexual abuse, emotional abuse, or physical abuse, it came usually at the hand of someone they loved. And as a result of this, many of those women, if it's 1/3 of women, have a bad picker. They don't have a healthy model for love in their head, which is why I study attachment theory. Of course,
I went
back to graduate school to study psychology for the same reason most people do, to try to figure out myself. And once I figured out, oh, that's what happened, then I became very fascinated with how whole populations of people can be impacted. You hear me talk about attachment style a lot. If you do not know your attachment style, you should go online and take an attachment test. because some people are emotionally avoidant. Some people have anxiety and fear and longing and separation anxiety around attachment. Other people have a secure attachment style. They can give and love and receive love quite comfortably. And the problem is, if you've suffered trauma in childhood, if sex is a higher risk hobby for you because you're female, and if you have an anxious attachment style, you're more likely to get attracted to somebody who could actually hurt you. So what's interesting is we've now entered this time in our history where we have kind of an oversupply of successful women in the mating marketplace. And women have patriarchy swimming in their own heads too. They don't like to date down. So what's happening is you have too few men for all these women. Now, it's not that you don't have enough men. It's that women need to get more evolved and choose men who can be best friends. Help?
What? All right, ladies. This would piss me off. Do not choose a mate who's your best friend. It doesn't work. See, that's the shit you're listening to. No, stop it. Because here's where it gets confusing before you think I'm wrong. See, you women will put a man in a friend zone, which is very confusing. First, she's telling you to choose your best friend, but yet your best friend is not going to be your lover, and they're not going to make great husbands. That's why they call them friends. That's why they call them lovers. That's why you say husbands. Do not choose a lover as your best friend. Keep them in the friend. Be honest with them, but put them in the friend zone. Don't be confused like, well, you're in a friend zone, but you do have the qualities that make a great husband. I'm going to marry you, and then you're going to be unhappy because you don't love him. He's just a friend. See, this is where it's wrong. But men, this is what women are listening to. You got to know this. So if she's trying to make you a best friend, you're taking your chances.
Non-monogamy. What's wrong with you? You're catching feelings, they say? And as a result, some of the women who I've talked about just now, who might have an anxious attachment style, who might not know to assess well, might get roped into relationships that are hurtful and painful. So recently, I saw a website that's supposed to heal these women. I don't know. It literally has the words, have you ever tried to not catch feelings only to have your stomach and heart tied up in knots after having sex with great people? I was like, what? They're going to, like, tell women that they should suppress or repress their feelings and learn how to have hookups. You know, Mother Nature evolved in us to have feelings, to have connection. You're supposed to catch feelings.
Mother Nature was a whore. That's a fact. Shut up with Mother Nature. Mother Nature was a slut. And it's called being a human being. You can't prevent your feelings and catch feelings and all that. And I like how they're catchphrases. You already know that psychiatrists always have stupid catchphrases with this attachment, whatever. They come up with these coin words, these cute little words, because they think they're so cute. Well, to be honest with you, I came up with assaholic. I mean, I thought it was genius, right? Because you might be an assaholic. Those are the people who are attracted to assholes. It's a 12-step program. I came up with that. But it's not so cute. Emotions. Let me tell you something. Love means a lot of things from different people. Different people mean interpret love in a lot of things. And it's impossible. It's impossible for a person, two people to meet and know what love is to that other person. It's impossible. When a woman says, I'm in love, it could be I'm in love because he brings me security. I'm in love because he's good looking. I'm in love because, you know, he makes me come five times and I'm an orgastic woman. I love that about him. Yeah, you do love that about him. Love is just an impulsive emotion that somehow generates something inside of you that you need more of. But it's not the complete thing of a human being, because a human being is not all about love. I keep saying, humans are not complicated. People make them complicated. Love is not complicated. People make them complicated. You see exactly what love is. You see what you love about someone. But that's not the whole entire thing. But women blow up this thing called, this word called love. And that's what gets you in trouble. If you recognize what love is, then maybe you won't be, maybe the divorces will not be 55% of people in divorce. Now, this woman's from Canada. We'll give her a pass because you know those Canadians. Oh, my God. You know those Canadians. She's from Canada. We'll give them a pass. And what I mean by Canadian women, I think Canadian women are not USA women. I think Canadian women are like free thinkers, and I call them hippies. You know what I mean? Canadians kind of like, they're like Switzerland. They're neutral. They're not judgmental. They'll take you as you are. If you got a boo-boo, they'll banish you. But American women, you got a boo-boo, they'll say, get up on your bike and ride again. I don't know the thinking in Canada, but the women are pretty good. But they kind of baby their men, you know what I mean? They're kind of, and men's are, and Canadian men's are kind of like, they go along with it. And, you know, she wants to baby me, I'm going to be your baby. I'll do, let me suck your tit. All right, here's Wendy, and we're going to get ready to leave this show. Here we go.
I saw a website. It's supposed to heal these women? I don't know. It literally has the words, have you ever tried to not catch feelings only to have your stomach and heart tied up in knots after having sex with great people? I was like, what? They're going to, like, tell women that they should suppress or repress their feelings and learn how to have hookups? You know, Mother Nature evolved in us to have feelings, to have connection. You're supposed to catch feelings. This is how it works. All right, when we come back, I have a guest who says that she can help make women more slut-secure. You're listening to the Dr. Wendy Welsh Show on KFI AM.
There you go, slut-secure.
Welcome back to the Dr. Wendy Welsh Show.
Here it is right here. Here it is.
Everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. I mentioned that my next guest, part of her mission, is to help many women feel slut-secure. Secure being comfortable with their sexuality. And so let me, without further ado, introduce Misha Bonaventure of something called Bonobo Network. Or some people call them bonobos. What do you go with, Misha?
Bonobo Network. That's
bonobo. Bonobo Network, which is an online community that involves classes to help people make sex-positive connections and in what you call a non-monogamous world. So first thing I want to know, Misha, how did you get involved in this?
Good question. Many years ago, I started looking at what I wanted to do in life and started exploring what would help me feel most fulfilled. And I went in lots of different directions, looking back and forth. And really what started emerging is that relationships are my passion. And I got involved in something called What is Erotic, which is a show, a cabaret show down in Santa Cruz, California. And that led me to the non-monogamous community up in the Bay Area. I started getting invited to events, and I started just becoming a leader in the community. And now here I am teaching, coaching, around how to be in relationship and how to be in sexuality, pleasure, in your best relationship.
And I know your answer, but why did you name your community why you named it? I'm an evolutionary psychologist.
Yeah, well, bonobos are known to be one of our closest ancestors, along with the chimpanzees. The difference between chimpanzees and bonobos are some interesting differences around matriarchy society, around using sex as conflict resolution. There are just some really interesting connections between bonobos and humans, and then also the bonobo behavior and how we could be doing relationship differently. So that's why we are inspired by the bonobos.
I was in my podcast, Mating Matters, I interviewed a one of the leading authors on polyamory and primate species, and he loves to call the bonobos the make love not war cousin of ours, versus the chimpanzees we know who are highly aggressive. In fact, the first thing they would do if they came upon a nursing mother is kill the baby so they could make her fertile again, and they're very, very aggressive. So humans have something in between in our population. We have the widest range of sexual behavior of any primate species. And so I'm curious to know about the group that you reach out to, the group that reaches out to you, the people who are comfortable with non-monogamy. Are you comfortable saying that that's not for everybody?
Oh, for sure, yes. I definitely am not an evangelist for non-monogamy. I'm more of an evangelist for what works, what works for you. And I think that our society has gotten into a bit of a bind in that we overvalue monogamy as a way of being, mostly because of, you know, religious teachings and things like that. And I guess my desire is for us to have a choice. And inside that choice, we can then do what works best for any one of us. And so for some of us, it is monogamy, or it is, you know, diving deep, or even maybe.
She spent 5 seconds saying nothing. At the end of it is we do what's best for us. This is a crap that men or women are listening to. Of course we do what's best for us, but sometimes we make wrong choices that are not good for us. It's not the point. Nobody goes out and say, you know what, I'm going to date this guy because he's the worst thing ever, because I deserve the worst possible life ever. And they create these little silly names, and any time that you find a woman that's creating a silly name about a group, get the fuck out because she's psychotic. These little cute little names. Did I mention I'm an assaholic? That's right. But let's go back to the dribble. And I'm saying, guys, these are what women are listening to. Be careful.
It's more important to be in a more monogamous or pair-bonded experience, but in other parts.
What the fuck is a pair-bonded? What the fuck is that? Anything with cute names and parabonic and you have no idea and they're going to do, that tells you that's one fucked up woman. And it tells you that she's alone and she's single and she wants to create her own little world. That's what it is, her own little world. Like Trump's world. He created a name called Sociopaths. Same thing. Here we go.
We think about relating and loving.
I will say this. We're definitely cooperative breeders, and we were always raised by extended family and friends and cousins. So you're spot on there. I have a question, though, that's a little bit sensitive. So I'm sure you're used to dealing with society's preconceptions. But I specialize in attachment theory. And your website has words like, know someone who's caught feelings when they didn't want to? Have you tried not to catch feelings, only to have your stomach and heart tied up in knots after having great sex with great people? And I have an issue with that as a marketing ploy, because there's a huge part of our population who are either very monogamous or, because of early childhood trauma, have a lot of insecurity around attachment, and they can't have standalone sex without having an emotional, payback, emotional penalty at the end. Do you think it's possible to train anybody to be non-monogamous?
Well, I would say that I am not potentially inherently non-monogamous, but I have done a lot of work, a lot of self-examination.
And that's the payoff. Have you ever heard these women write books? I have women on my show write books about relationships and marriage and divorce, and I've been abused. I have them on my show. And I asked the same question. We have one lady on the show, and she wrote about sexual abuse and stay away from men who have these kind of characteristics. And she was good. Until I started to question her, and I found out that she was one who was encouraging abuse. She was the one at 13 was raping little 11-year-old boys. She was the one who was at 15 having lesbian relationship with her sister and teaching her about sex. She was the abuser. So I'm looking at these people who write these books, and so this one is writing a book about whatever it is, what non have sex and with one person. But then she asked her question, well, you wrote this book, and tell us about it. Are you monogamous or are you non-monogamous? How do you have sex? Well, I'm not those people. I am monogamous. Then why in the fuck are you writing the book? What are you doing? If you're writing a book about having sex, being non-monogamous, but yet you are not that kind of person. So basically, you got stories from other people, and you put it together in a book, and you got the title. But when it comes down to what do you know about it, she doesn't know nothing. Let's continue.
On detachment, and they can't have standalone sex without having an emotional, payback, emotional penalty at the end. Do you think it's possible to train anybody to be non-monogamous?
Well, I would say that I am not potentially inherently non-monogamous, but I have done a lot of work, a lot of self-examination
right.
in order to see where have I closed doors or where does my
right.
attachment system need more security versus where does my attachment need more freedom. I guess what we're trying to say here is that often we are getting attached to people in ways that are not necessarily healthy, mostly because there are...
Divorce rate is 55% here in the United States, if not higher. Do we really need this woman to tell us that we get attached to relationships that are not healthy for us? She said everything to, and if you come to the conclusion, well, people are getting attached to relationships that are not healthy. We know this. This is what you got? Really?
And so how can we have secure connections versus necessarily secure attachment-based relationships? And how can we have choice? In Jessica Fern's book, Poly Secure, she talks about having a choice between having an attachment-based relationship. And, like, that just blew my mind when I started, when I read that. It was just like, can we actually start having a choice between who we're attaching to and who we're having a pleasurable moment with? Or, like, seeing through, like, oh, this person is wonderful as this part of my life, but they're actually not a good fit for me to attach to in a longer-term relationship or have a child with or, you know, whatever it might be. But, am I answering your question?
A little bit.
I would think
that if I look at it only through a lens of attachment theory, that you're going to find people who have a more avoidant attachment style, meaning that they love to seek the pleasure of sex, but emotional intimacy feels a little overwhelming to them, they would more likely be attracted to this community. Then when I hear you say, you know, is it really healthy to get attached to everybody you have sex with? Well, some people are actually wired that way, and they probably shouldn't be dabbling in light, casual relationships because Mother Nature designed these neurohormones for...
All right. I have one brain cell left listening to this bullshit about attachment and her little coy and cute little name. Listen to me. Even if it's a one-night stand, we're attached. We're in it. Two people are in it. And what are we in it for? We're in it for the sex. As soon as women can feel more empowered and feel good about themselves saying, I'm here to get laid, I am not here to be attached to you. I mean, we're no Lego. What are we, Legos? Women have empowered. I give women more credit than these people do. They're thinking that women are idiots and that women go into a relationship and, oh, my God, I want to get attached. And I have to warn you about men who don't want to be. Women know this. Women, I give them more credit than these people. Women know that you're not the type of guy that I want to have my children with. You're not the type of guy. You're not stable. You're impulsive. You're an alcoholic. You're a drug user. You go to clubs. You dress like a five-year-old. She knows that this is not the guy. But he happened to look good that night, and she needed to get a dick in her, and she needed to get his dick wet. That's it. And as soon as women can understand that, I'm a human being, meaning them, women are human beings, and they have sexual desires, and not feel guilty about it. This is what we're talking about here. Women are not stupid. Women are smarter than men. They have the choices. Men don't. A woman can decide whether to give her body to somebody else, but she has control, full control of it. Women have full control during sex. Men have no control during sex. And I'll tell you, and people go, that's bullshit. No, it's not bullshit. Because every woman out there listening to my voice, after she has sex, the man says the same thing over and over. She's going to hear it, no matter how old they are or how experienced they are or if they're a virgin or they're a whore, they're going to hear the same word after it's done. Did you come? And those words, those three words, after sex, did you come? That's telling her, men perform sex to please the woman. The woman must have a great time because that makes who we are. If she doesn't have a good time, to a man, it destroys his masculinity. This is what he lives for. He says if you're in the game and we're having sex, he is trying to please her. That's it. That's the game. Even your husband for so many years will probably still ask you the same question. He probably knows when you have an orgasm, but whatever. He'll still say, how was I, or how was it, or was that great? He has to have that affirmation, and he has to confirm that he was the man of the hour, that he made you come. Because he could be rocking your world for 2 hours and everything, give you all the wine, expensive food, whatever, but it comes down to the bed. And it comes down to, can he satisfy her? And if he doesn't satisfy you, he lost everything. So when you talk about attachment later on, nobody's thinking about later on. And women should give themselves the permission to enjoy sex. For so long, you never had that permission. You had that guilt. You had that guilt because you liked it. You had that guilt that I'm with my husband. I look at this guy and look at his ass, and I would like to sit on his face for a while. It doesn't mean you want to marry him. You just want to sit on his face and wiggle his ears. It doesn't mean, but women have to give themselves that permission. And that's the problem that we're having. And until women give themselves the permission to enjoy sex, and until a woman gives herself the permission that says, you know, it's just a sex thing, goodbye, get the hell out of my house, then we're going to have stupid shows like this with stupid names like attachment or whatever, Nobo or Kobo or whatever, and women are going to be confused. The bottom line, women, you are strong, empowered, your business, you're sophisticated, you're educated. That bullshit about a man leads the relationship, and if he wants you, and if he leaves you because you gave him sex, and all of a sudden you're going to feel used and you're a victim, those days are over. Be the woman that says, you know, I want sex that night, and get the fuck out of my house. Then you have arrived. But when a man has to, when you're trying to please a man and your whole existence is what he thinks of you, or don't do this because he may think this, who gives a fuck what he thinks? It's because you don't need a man. You never needed a man. You don't need permission for anything. You don't need permission. You don't need no one to give you affirmation of who you are or what you are. And that's the only difference that what's happening in 2022 than in 1940 is because no more that you need permission, and no man is going to give you some kind of credibility to make you feel good about yourself. You don't need them. You don't need it. And you don't need stupid shows with cute names and women who are psychiatrists who say, I'm a psychiatrist and I want to talk about hookups and sex. But yet, if somebody talks to me on the phone that I feel uncomfortable with, I'm going to go to HR and get Bill O'Reilly and destroy his career. That's a vindictive bitch. So we're going to end the show. You've heard all the things that women are listening to, but I'm going to tell you something. Relationships are simple. People make them complicated. Women, we don't know what you want. We're being really honest. And I know that you try to tell us, and we're not listening. I know that. And maybe we don't get how you say it in your windows or stories or whatever. Maybe we're not listening. I understand. But if you really want to have a good relationship, it's compromise. And nobody's perfect. And if that boy, bad boy, have enough in that relationship to make it spontaneous and make it fun and keeps you laughing and joking, but if he needs to have some kind of stability and not be so impulsive, well, that's what you bring to the table, because he doesn't have to bring everything. He's bringing that. What are you bringing? You got to bring the logic and the education and the love and the nurturing that he may not have had. Because that's what you bring to the table, and that's what makes a great relationship. And that's it. It's not complicated. Love is not complicated. People make it complicated. You just got to learn how to express how you feel. That's what's complicated. Very simple. So the problem with it is that love is not confusing. It's just, no, you just got to speak the same language. And you got to learn her language and understand her language, and she has to understand you. And once that's done, you got yourself a great relationship. That's all you have to do.
Love each other. The winner is MC Hammer.
And talk to each other. Very simple. Don't make it difficult. I'm Brian Hammer Jackson, and I'll see you guys tomorrow. Take care.
Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Can't touch this. My music hits me so hard. Make me say, oh my Lord, thank you for blessing me. What am I doing? Touch this. Yeah, that's how we living, and you know, can't touch this. Look at my eyes, man, can't touch this. Yo, let me bust the funky lyrics. Touch this. Fresh new kicks and pants, you got it like that, now you know you wanna dance, so move out of your seat, and get a fire girl, and catch this beat while it's rolling. Hold on, pump a little bit, and let them know what's going on, like that, like that. Pull a little bit, just fall on back, let them know that you're too much, and this is a beat up they can't touch. Why you standing there, man? You can't touch this. Yo, sound the bell. School is in, sucker. You can't touch this. Give me a song, a rhythm, making them sweat. That's what I'm giving them now. They know. You're talking about the hammer. You're talking about a show that's hot and tight. Fingers are sweating so fast in my white or tape. Two words. What's it gonna take in the 90s? Two words that chart. Legit. Either work hard or you might as well quit. That word, because you know. You can't touch this. Can't touch this. Break it down. touch this. Look, man, you can't touch this. You better get a hype, boy, because you know you can't touch this. Ring the bell, school's back in. Break it down.
I am Brian the Hammer Jackson, and I'm an alcoholic. See you next time.
Stop. Hammer time. You can't touch this. Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Break it down. Stop. Hammer time. Every time you see me, that hammer's just so hype. I'm low on the floor and I'm magic. Hammer, yo, hammer, and the rest can't go in play. Can't touch this.